ജയം ശുപാല പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്രശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയശരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്രശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദക്കി നാമാചാര്യ ശിലഹരദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധ വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാം കി മായപ്പൂർ ധാം കി മധുരപുരി ധാം കി ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാം കി ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാം കി ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരംഗ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയാ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതാം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടാം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലെ സ്വയം രൂപകഥാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സുപദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണ രഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണ ലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശതാരിണേ നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി നാമിനേ ശ്രീ വർഷഭാനവി ദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ദയേ കൃഷ്ണ സംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമാം മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യം ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിദ ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീ മൂർത്തയേ ദീനധാരിണി രൂപാനുഗവിരുദ്ധാവ സിദ്ധാന്തദ്വന്ദഹാരിണി നമോ ഗൗരകിശോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയെ വിപ്രലംബര സാംഭോദേ പദാംബുജായതേ നമഃ നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനേ ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപനോ ഗൗരായതേ ഗൗരാവിർഭവഭൂമേസ്ത്വം നിർദ്ദേഷ്ടാ സജനപ്രിയ വൈഷ്ണവാ സർവഭൗമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായതേ നമഃ വാഞ്ചകൽപതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ നമോ മഹാവദന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമപ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യനാമ്നേ ഗൗരത്വശേ നമഃ ജതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാത്വികം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാ കാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ ജയനാം സുരദൗപാന്നൂർ മമം മന്ദമതീർഗതി മത്സർവസ്വപദാം ഭോജോ രാധാമദനമോഹനോ ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാലൗ ശ്രീമന്ദരത്നാകരസിംഹാസനസ്ഥൗ ശ്രീമന്രാധാശീലഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രേഷ്ടാളിഭി സേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീവടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷൻ വേണുസ്വനേർഗോപേർഗോപിനാഥ ശ്രീയേസ്തുനാഃ തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗി രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ ജയ ശ്രീ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ
कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिदां भगवदां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रदिदां पुराण मुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी। नमोऽस्तुते व्यासविशालबुद्धे पुनरविन्दायतपत्रनेत्रम् येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपा प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः। सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धम् गीतामृतम् महत् वसुदेवसुतम् देवम् कंसचाणूरमर्दनम् देवगी परमानन्दम् कृष्णम् वन्दे जगद्गुरुम्। भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तक केशव पराशर्यवज सरोजममलम् गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानगकेसरम् हरिकथा सम्बोधनाभोदितम् लोकैः सज्जनषल्पदैरहरः सेवीयमानम् मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे। मुखम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यल्कृवातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदाम् स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैः सवैर्वेदैर्साङ्गपदैर्क्रमौपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यम् समगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनो यस्यान्तम् विदुःसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः। सर्वत्र गोविन्दनामसङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द।
Yesterday we were talking about Ahangaram. Ahangaram has got rebirth. Punarjanmam or rebirth is for Ahangaram, not for the Atma. Atma doesn't have rebirth. And Ahangaram has got rebirth, isn't it? Punarjanmam is for Ahangaram. And Krishna's point was that the logic, just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, Dehi nosmin yatha dehi. On the same logic, that as much childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age, in sequence it's coming. The body is changing, but the same logic continues after death also. While inside the body, while we have a body now, the Atma has no contact with the body still. What it means is that whatever changes that's happening in the body, mind, intelligence, it is totally unaffected in the Atma. Atma is independent, always. Totally free from everything. So, this body is a peculiar thing. It just moves around in this world. But of course, Atma is present in there, otherwise it won't move. But at the same time, it has no contact, because none of the changes happening in the body is affecting Atma. That's why we say there is no contact. So it is on this issue that Krishna has spoken about that verse. Amulamedad bhavde nirubidam. If you remember that, it's an important verse because some of the things what Krishna says, Amulamedad bhavde nirubidam. Prior to that, two verses before, Krishna spoke about this. Shogam, harsham, bhayam, krodham, lobham, moham, spruhadaya, ahangarasya drishyante, janma mrtyusha, na atmana. Shogam, harsham, bhayam, krodham, lobham, moham, desire, all these things, birth, death, all of them happens to this ahangaram, not for the soul. It doesn't happen for the soul. But only when the ahangaram is present in a person, you can observe these things happening. Which one? Shogam, harsham, bhayam, lobham, krodham, moham, spruha. And in the deep sleep state, when the ahangaram gets dissolved, these things you can't see anymore. Shogam, harsham, bhayam, krodham, lobham, moham, spruha. Therefore, the conclusion is that all these things are the activities of ahangaram and not atma. Ahankara dharmam, it is called. Not atma dharmam. Ahankara dharmam it is. That is how it is found out. That shogaharsha bhayakrodha lobhamoha spradhadaya ahankarasi krishna saying ahankarasi drishyande janma mrityu cha na atmana. The logic is like this. That Krishna is saying everything is for ahankaram, not for the atma. Reason being, when you go into the deep sleep state, that ahangaram, when ahangaram is not there, these things are also not there. So therefore, they are always with the ahangaram and not with the atma. This is one important thing to notice there. That means it's an ahangara dharmam, not atma dharmam. And then, from this Krishna's point is that material existence or samsaram is for ahangaram. And similarly, mukti or liberation is also for ahangaram. And then, Dehendriya Pranam Anobhimano Jivo Andaralma Gunagarma Murti Sutram Mahanidi Urudeva Gita Samsaram Adhavadi Kalatantram. The verse 16th verse. Deham Indriyam Pranam Manasse Abhimanam Andaralma Gunagarma Murti Sutram Mahanidi Urudeva Gita Jivaha Kalatantra Samsare Adhavadi. Sri Rajari Swamiji mentions here that the body, the senses, the pranan, the life air, the mind, in all these things, who is going and identifying with that? Ahangaram. Ahangaram goes and catch hold of one of these things. And that is why yesterday we spoke about this, that when ahangaram is present inside, then sometimes it will identify with the body. When it is identifying with the body, that's why when you are thinking that I am a man, I am a woman, I am white, I am black, I am this, I am that, all kinds of designations it when you are identifying with the body. Similarly, Krishna is saying, when you are identifying with the senses, that is why sense gratification goes on. When you are identifying with the pranan, that is when you are desiring for hunger, thirst and things like that. These are all pranavrti. So, dehavrti, indriyavrti, pranavrti. Then, sometimes it identifies with the mind. And at that time, then you experience all this anger, lust, greed, and all other kinds of things. So, wherever ahangaram goes and identifies, accordingly, the dharmam of that particular element happens. For example, with the body, dehadharmam. With the pranan, pranadharmam. With the mind, manodharmam. With the senses, indriyadharmam. So, who is then this jiva? Jiva, it is in the most interesting thing that he is sitting inside as the andaryami. Andaryami is the jiva also because it's a one thing, one on a totally separate level, pure level as atma. But atma is reflecting in all these things. And that reflection is that, he says, Andaryami is present. And because of this identification, he is mistakenly thinking that gunam and karmam
is all his identity. He is mistakenly thinking like that. And the same thing is called as Sutralma. And also it is called Mahatattvam. In these different names, he is identified. He is addressed in these different names. Sutralma, Mahatattvam. And in all these ways it is addressed, which is called Jiva. And he becomes that Jiva under the guidance of Kalamurti of Krishna. Gunakarma Murti, it says here. Kalatandram. Kalatandram means under the influence of time it's operating. Jiva is also, Andaryami is another presence there in another form. So, and when Krishna is the time personified, when time is operating, at that time, under his control, this Jiva gets that Brahman in the material world. It experiences all the Brahman in the material world. So here, you have to remember that it's not that Kevala Ahankaram is having the Brahman. It is the Ahankaram which is associated with the living force, Chaitanyam. Ahankaram, which is with the Upadhi as Chaitanyam. That means that Ahankaram is a very general term when you talk about Ahankaram. Ahankaram is in different ways operating, right? It's associated with the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, prana and everything. But this Jiva, what we are addressing here is Kevala Ahankaram. Kevala Ahankaram means that it is not that Ahankaram what we will normally address as Ahankaram, but Ahankaram which is associated with the living force inside, Chaitanyam. And so, due to the knowledge, even though when proper knowledge comes, which comes in the next verse Krishna is talking about, when the knowledge comes in, due to the power of knowledge, that all the Ahankaram gets killed. Ahankaram goes away. But even though everything gets destroyed, that Chaitanyam which is in the form associating with Ahankaram still remains. With that still remains. It's too subtle, this whole thing. That Dehendriya Pranam Anobhimanu Jivo Andaralma Gunakarma Murti Sutram Mahaniti Urudeva Gita Samsara Madhavadi Kalatantram. And this, when Jiva has got this Ahankaram there, Jiva itself is Ahankaram. But Jiva has got life in it. Where is the life coming from? Due to the presence of Atma. Atma is giving that life to Jiva. But Jiva is Ahankaram also. But at some point, Jiva loses this Ahankaram identity. Ahankaram goes away. But that living force still remains there. And Ahankaram is the cause of this bondage, or which is identifying with the things. It's Ahankaram. And when through knowledge it is that Ahankaram is destroyed, then liberation can happen. Krishna is saying that. That's when liberation happens. Amulamedad bahurubarupidam manovaja prana sharira karma jnanasinobhasanaya shitena chitva munirgam vijaratya trishnaham. Amulamedad bahurubarupidam manovaja prana sharira karma jnanasinobhasanaya shitena chitva munirgam vijaratya trishnaham. Amulam Bahuruba Rubidam Edad Manovaja Prana Sharira Karma Upasanaya Shidena Yanasina Chitva Muni Adrishnagam Vicharati. Shidra Swami says there, this Ahankaram, it has no root anywhere. It doesn't have any root anywhere. Where is it coming? Where is it going? Nobody knows. Nobody understands. But due to the ignorance inside, what all we have, due to that, these things called mind, words, prana, body, all this identification happens with the presence of the Ahankaram. And that Ahankara Grandhi, which is called Chijada Grandhi, Chitta and Jadam, the link that is connecting between the two, which is a chitjada grandhi or a hangara grandhi, that should be cut off through the power of the knowledge of the sword of knowledge. Through the sword of knowledge. And afterwards, with that, the muni, he says there, chitva munirgam vijaratya trishna. The sage or the rishi who has done that, he wanders around in this world without any desires in him. He just moves around in this world totally free from everything. Completely free from everything. That is what that means. Amula medad bhagarupitam manovaja prana sharira karma. Yanasin opasanaya shidena chitva munirgam vijaratya trishna. So, here something, a little bit of clarity required here. For example, Krishna said to us in the Bhagavad Gita as well as here, in the Bhagavadam also, that this is how a jiva moves from one body to another. Patanjali has a little difference of opinion, because that is from Patanjali's yoga process he is coming. He is saying like this, that Patanjali says that he does not stay in one body, he lives in several, he can go into other bodies as well. He can go into other bodies as well. Because he can sit in several bodies, and at the same time, he can enter into two or three bodies. He's saying. Why does he say like that? Because in Ashtanga Yogam, when it is an advanced state, an Ashtanga Yogi is capable of doing those things. It is from that point of view Patanjali is saying this. Krishna is talking about in a normal course or ordinary people. That means normally one jiva leaves this body and goes into another body. That's a statement in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But Patanjali, because he is an established personality in the one of the Patanjali Yoga Darshanam, out of the six different systems of philosophy, is one of the authenticated one. Patanjali's opinion is also valid in the sense that he is talking to us that based on the one who has practiced yoga system, he is capable of doing even such things. Which one? Going into several bodies and taking birth there. And disappearing from this world from several bodies. In several places they can disappear. That's why you will see some of the great personalities, they left the body in several places at the same time. Sadashiva Brahmendra, when he left the body, he didn't leave the body in one place. He left the body in several places. Shankaracharya left the body in different places. Why is that? Because that is how it is, that they are capable of doing that. In different bodies they can leave this world from different places. So, and this rule, that this is the exceptions to the rule. What Krishna is saying is the general rule. The standard rule is like this, that you leave the body, you accept another body. Patanjali's point is that it is not necessarily to be like that. There are exceptions to this rule also, that that only after leaving this body you have to take birth in another body. It's not necessary. While you have this body, you can take birth in another body because of the capacity of the soul to move from one body to another, even while present in this body. So that makes the exception for that. So when we say these things, you have to be very careful about it, that in the power of the soul is unlimited. It has got a lot of things it can do. And there is you can't tie it down to one rule, because Maya is capable of doing so many things and putting us into very great difficulty. We like everything under one rule, everything happening, but it doesn't happen that way. That's why when they asked Ramana Maharshi this question, Maharshi said that when they asked him that, suppose after death, is it possible that he could take birth again after a couple of years somewhere else? Maharshi's answer was that, yes, he can, but he could be even 75 years old. So it is very difficult to give one rule and say that this is how everything will happen in the jurisdiction of Maya. So it is like a magic, the whole thing. Maya puru rupate, that it can take many forms, and in many places it can operate. Atma can take birth in many places, in many forms. Therefore, yogis who knows this tattvam very well, and they can utilize this principle also of the soul, and they can operate from different places. And this is how that many bodies comes in, and in many forms they can appear, and Patanjali mentions that. So both Krishna's statement and Patanjali's statement are both valid. It's not only that. Krishna is saying, general rule Krishna has spoken. But Patanjali says, yogis can capable of doing these things. So, but ordinary people can't do that. Only yogis it is going to happen like that. So, therefore, when the jnani, when he is established in the truth, or realized the truth, he realizes what that is. It is at that time, this verse is coming. Amulamedad bhagarupa rupidam. Verse number 17. Mano vaja prana sharira karma. Jnanasinopasanaya shitena chitva munirgam vicharatya trishnaham. So, amulamedad bhagarupa rupidam. Bhagarupa rupidam. Who is taking bhagarupa rupidam? Ahangaram. Ahangaram can take different forms. You have seen that. With the body, with the mind, with the senses, with the pranan, everything. Mano vacham prana sharira karmam. And jnana asina upasanaya shidena chittvam yogam vicharatya trishna. So, after that, Krishna is saying there that there we talked about this, what Krishna says in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. Nasado vidyade bhavo na bhavo vidyade sada ubhayoravi drishtvandam sthanayor tattva darshibhi. That the established principle is that what exists, you cannot make it not to exist. It has to exist. And what is not existing, you cannot give existence to it permanently. It's not possible. That's a very fundamental principle in the Bhagavad Gita also. What is existing, you cannot take its existence away from this, because it is existing always. Satta, that means satta. Asatta means it has no existence. Even if you appears as though it's existing now, you cannot give a permanent existence to it. That is asatta. So, nasado vidyade bhavo nabhavo vidyade sada. This principle, this principle was established by the rishis first. Rishis understood this principle very strongly. In their deep meditations, they understood that the awareness inside is satta, and that you cannot take it away. You can't kill it. Even if you want to kill it, you can't kill it. Therefore, awareness is satta. All other things, even if you want to give it existence, like the body, the mind, the words, senses, and prana and everything, all these things, because they are ahangaram, all of them is asat. Therefore, even if you want to make it to exist forever, it is not possible. This is the principle. This is a very important principle. Na sato vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. Ubhayoravi drishtvandam, stanayor tatu darshivi. Tatu darshis have found out this truth from the very beginning. Krishna is saying this. The rishis have found out this from the very beginning. And therefore, they did not give any importance to asata. They wouldn't give any importance to asat because of this principle. The science has not come to this understanding yet. Rishi's understanding is, you go after the permanent. You don't go after the temporary things. Science is going after temporary things, isn't it? Whereas Shastram is saying, go after the permanent thing. Because if you go after the temporary things, you will be disappointed one day. Because temporary things is under control of Maya. And Maya will keep shifting it. So you will never get the truth at any time. She will keep changing the very nature of the material nature. So, but what is not existing, just like this body, mind, pranan, senses, all these things, you don't have to destroy it. It's not necessary. Only thing is, you have to know that it doesn't exist. That's the way to destroy it. Not by physically destroying it. Body, mind and all those things, you don't have to physically destroy it. Only you have to know that it doesn't exist. That is the way to destroy it. It is asat. So asat means it doesn't exist. Even though it appears as though it's existing now. It appears to us through the senses, it existing. But because it is not satya, it is asatya, it doesn't have any existence. That is the logic. Amulame dad bhagarubarupidam manovaja prana sharira karmam jnanasinopasanaya shidina chitva munirgam vicharatya trishnaha. That this capable capacity of this ahangaram to take different forms, not one form, through many forms it can take. So, therefore, there is no point in trying to destroy ahangaram. Trying to destroy it is no use, because it will take different forms again. And one, two, three, like that, many times it's called a tribudi. So, for example, in Jagrat, you have one kind of ahangaram. In the Swapnam, there is a different kind of ahangaram. So, that's why it's called amulam. It has no root. If you try to find out the source where it's coming from, it is amulam. It has no, where it is coming, nobody knows. So, you can't find the source itself. As we said yesterday, that when you are seeing the snake in the rope, in the darkness, where is the source of the snake? We don't know where it is, isn't it? But when you brought the light and showed the light on the rope, that then there is not even a slightest trace of the snake in the rope. And so when you brought the light, the snake disappeared. So what caused this presence of the snake there? What is the root cause of the snake? Is the rope responsible for the snake? Or at any time did the rope turn into snake? That is why it is said, amulametad bahurubarupitam. Bahurubarupitam. Many forms it can take. Manovaja prana sharira karmam. And then afterwards, it identifies joints with the mind, the senses, the pranan, all these things, and it is engaged in karmam. When the ahangaram joins the mind, ahangaram joins the pranan, ahangaram joins the senses, at that instance, karmam begins. Karmam is a part of that. Karmam comes from that. So, how will you destroy this person, ahangaram, this entity? Only through knowledge. Krishna is saying, jnanasina upasanaya shidena. Through the power of knowledge, through the sword of knowledge, or through that jnana upasana, or jnana margam, through the process of knowledge, you have to sharpen it. That is the sword. Knowledge is the sword. So, like you have to sharpen it, like razor sharp. You have to make it razor sharp. And then with that, puts it into the person. It goes inside and the sword is looking for the that ajnanam inside. But, or ahangaram inside. When he looks at, he doesn't have to cut the ahangaram. But as soon as to put the sword in, ahangaram disappears. Ahangaram has disappeared. In other words, you can see that in reality, separately from Atma, it is only when the knowledge goes in, you realize this, that there is no such thing called ahangaram or jiva or another entity. It is not a reality. Only when the knowledge of sword goes in, that is when you realize it. There is no such thing called ahangaram or jiva that doesn't exist. Jivo brahmaivi na para. Jiva does not exist, only Brahman is existing there. Jiva is only a concept. Jiva is only a concept. Kalpana. Yatvam jnanasina upasanaya shidena chitva munirgam vicharatya trishna.
Munirgam Vijaratya Trishna. So, Muni or the Rishi or the sage who has realized this through knowledge, he does not have any more. What happens to him? Chitva Munirgam. He has no Sangam anywhere. He has no Sangam anywhere. And without any desires, without any Trishna or desires inside, with full knowledge or bliss of the soul, he travels in this world freely. He travels in this world freely. So, the Muni or the sage, in that way, in the Bhumi, in the earth, he is totally free, without any thoughts inside, completely established in the platform of the soul, enjoying the blissful nature of the soul, he freely wanders in this world. Yanasin obasanaya shitena shitva munirgam vijaratya trishna. How did that happen? Because of his intense inquiry of the self. Intense inquiry of the self, his mind has become single-pointed, one-pointed. It is not anymore oscillating in any direction. And due to that knowledge that has gone inside, he is very much fixed in the truth. Tattva-jnanam or Tattva-nishchayam has come to him. And he, this thing called ahankaram, if it doesn't have a root, how can you cut it? Amulam bahuru manovaja prana sharira karmam chitva, he says. You have to cut it, he says. How will you cut which one doesn't have a root? It is standing in a space. Ahangaram. So, the cutting means to know that it doesn't have a root. It doesn't have a root. So, because you have inquired about yourself, who am I? You are inquiring that. And when you inquired, you didn't find anybody there. There is nobody there. That is how the inquiry finishes. You have inquired and eventually you found there is nobody there. There is only pure consciousness. Pure consciousness. And after knowing that, Vijaratya Trishnaha. That Vijarati Atrishna Gam Vijarati. That Krishna says, without being in contact with anything, any Sangam, that personality or that Muni or Rishi, totally free as a Paramahamsa, totally liberated, what another word called is Atmarama. Remember? In India. Atmarama Shamanayo Nargrandha Vivrikrame Kurvandya Haidugim Bhaktim Itam Bodhaguno Hari. All these words means the same. Atmarama, Jivan Mukta, Paramahamsa. These are all different words for that Rishi who is in that state, who is walking through this world. And Vijarati Adrishnaham. So, and then he is saying that such a person, you Sarva Bodha Sukhrit, Krishna is saying, if we look into the, I think it is in the 7th chapter, when Krishna started the conversation with Uddhava, he mentioned this. It's the same thing Krishna is saying in the 7th chapter when he started the conversation with Uddhava. 12th verse. Sarva Bodha Suhrit Shando Jnana Vijnana Nishchaya Pashyan Madalpagam Vishwam Navibadhya Edavai Punam. Sarva Bodha Suhrit Shando Jnana Vijnana Nishchaya Pashyan Madalpagam Vishwam Navibadhya Edavai Punam. That is what that state is. The same thing Krishna is stressing here again. So, when he began, Krishna started the instructions to Uddhava, he mentioned this, Sarva Bodha Suhrit Shando Jnana Vijnana Nishchaya. That is a state, isn't it? And he has no particularly any attachment or hate
or towards anybody. He has no particularly an attachment anywhere, nor a hate to anybody. Without any of those things, in a friendly disposition, friendly disposed, and he is compassionate to everybody, and to everyone in this world, he exhibits a friendly nature, and totally peaceful, and he will travel in this world in that way. Sarvabodha Suhurshando Jnana Vijnana Nishaya.
Krishna said that, isn't it? And that is the nature of the person who has realized this truth.
So, that friendly nature of that person, because he has no attachment anywhere, nor he doesn't have hate of anybody, therefore, Jnana Vijnana Nishaya, because of the knowledge inside, he knows the truth now, therefore he has no attachment or hate anywhere, and like children, he will pass through this world. Children have no particularly hate or anything at that age, isn't it? Balavat, like children. What we have to remember there is a difference. When we are using all these examples, we have to be also a little bit clear about that. It says that he travels like a child in this world, Balavat. But he is not acting like a child. He is moving in this world like a child. Why is that? Because in this person, Jnani, he has got knowledge inside him. And because of the knowledge inside him, he is very firm in his decisions. He is very established in the knowledge. And therefore, he travels like a Paramahamsa in this world.
Pashyan Madalpagam Vishwan.
So, if you look at that verse, Sarvabodha Suhur Shanda Jnana Vijnana Nishaya Pashyam Madalpagam Vishwan. Na Vijadhyada Vai Puna. That means when the Ahankaram is gone completely and he has established in this knowledge of the self completely, Ahankaram is gone, then this is the state. Sarva Bodha Suhurshanda. This he has spoken in the beginning itself. Krishna said that, 7th chapter. Sarvabhuta Suhurshanda Jnana Vijnana Nishaya Pashyan Mada Almagam Vishwam Na Vibadhyada Vaipuna. Krishna says that he has got Jnanam and Vijnanam both, and he is a friend of all the living entities. Friend in the sense, not like the way we talk about friend. We friend, you do this for me, I do this for you. Not that kind of friendship. Friendship means he doesn't have any hate towards anybody. And he doesn't have any particularly attachment anywhere. He's not take sides with anybody. And he doesn't say this is, he is right and he is wrong. He doesn't do that. But he is friendly disposed to anybody, anyone who comes into contact with him. And that person, Krishna is saying, will not experience this material existence anymore. So this is how Krishna started this 7th chapter, when Uddhava's instructions began, and now we have come to this stage. So, and that is purely due to the power of knowledge. Pashyan Madalpagam Vishwan. And if you live in that way in this world, Krishna says to Uddhava, that by now you are seeing purely as Atma, not anymore as Ahankaram. In that way, you will see everybody in that way, Atma Swarupam, purely in the form of the soul. And if you travel in that way, you will never have any problem anywhere, Krishna is saying. No dangers anymore for you in this world, because only fear comes from Dvaitam. If you see that there is somebody else existing, and from that Dvaitam fear comes. But if you are seeing that everywhere there is only one Vastu, Atma, present everywhere, there is no question of fear developing in the heart. But you have to be established in that state. Kavi Maharshi also said the same thing. Bhayam dvitiyal abhinivesha tasyal. From the second, when you recognize there is a second thing existing, that's when fear comes from that. So, that is the... And in that state, anya vastu, another vastu doesn't exist. And for that person, ragam, dvesham, those things also won't exist in that person. Raga dvesham won't be there. Kartrutva bhoktrutva won't be there. Everything goes away. Everything goes away. So you can see the Muni or Jnani or a Rishi, what his relationship with the world is, isn't it? When the Hangaram gets totally destroyed, then that person is an entity which the body is passing through this world, but in consciousness he is totally free from here. And he does not have particularly any love or hate towards anyone. He is equally disposed to everybody. So, there is a story that Vivekananda's spiritual master, that means Ramakrishna Paramahamsa was Vivekananda's guru. His spiritual master was Totapuri. This Totapuri has a, there's an interesting story about him, that he, in one instance, this Brahmarakshasa attacked him. Brahmarakshasa is a kind of a living, in a ghostly form. How Brahmarakshasa takes birth is spoken. Who is Brahmarakshas and all that. That once it so happened that Brahmarakshas came in front of Totapuri. So Totapuri told him, "You are Brahmam, I am also Brahmam. So I don't have to be frightened about you," because Brahmarakshas generally wants to eat other person. And saying to the Brahmarakshas, "You sit there and I will instruct you on the Brahmanishta, Brahman knowledge." And Mahavakyam was instructed to Brahmarakshas by Totapuri. Because Totapuri was a realized soul, he was not affected by, for him even a Brahmarakshas did not cause any fear, because from him, for him, Brahmarakshas is also Brahmam. Bahirupa Rubidam, Krishna mentions there before. So some people will have body, some of these Ahangaram will have body. Sometimes Ahangaram won't have a body. It will carry on like this. So, because sometimes when this Ahangaram, we look at people and look at the body and we relate with the body, right? But on the spiritual level, they don't look at the body. They look at who is inside that body. Who is inside that body? That's what you look at. So when you're looking at inside a body, you're seeing that there is a Ahangaram there. The person, that is the person inside. The Jiva or Ahangaram. So sometimes Ahangaram will be moving around in a body. Another time Ahangaram will be without a body. Why? Because he is looking, taken a ghostly body. And at that time it's looking, is there a possibility of having satsangam somewhere? To get some satsangam. And he will wander around in that way. So because he is the one, this Ahangaram is the one who comes later with the body. Who comes later with the body. And he is the party who brings the body later. When this Ahangaram has got a body, we call him as a human being. And when the Ahangaram doesn't have a body, we call that as a ghost. That's the only difference. When the ahankaram has got a gross body, it is called a human being. When the ahankaram doesn't have a body, it's called a ghost. But ahankaram is the same thing. That's all. So, vastu, in essence, both are same, ahankaram. Both are ahankaram. And the only difference is, when it has got a body, gross body, we are not frightened about that. But if it comes without a body, we are frightened about it. You see? That's all it is. We have made some funny ideas in a... This is all ajnanam inside. Krishna is saying to us, you have to always think from very subtle level how Krishna is explaining this to us. That actually, due to our own identification with the body and due to the adhyasam in the body, we have become so close with this body rather than our ahankaram. Ahankaram is someone that is moving this body. Ahankaram is the one which is transmigrating from one body to another. So, sometimes that ahankaram may not have a body. And that is one, it is called pratham or ghost. Ghostly existence, right? So, sometimes it has got a body and that time we call it as a human being. And then we put the ID, passport and all then for that body. You give all the identity, right? But inside him, there is someone whom you cannot give any identity or passport. So, but that fellow inside, ahankaram, which Krishna has spoken about, he, when he doesn't have a body, we call him as a ghost. We call him as a ghost. But it is one and the same thing. One and the same thing. What is inside me, what is inside the ghost, it's one and the same thing. That ahankaram. But when that ahankaram has got a body, nobody is frightened about it. When ahankaram has no body, then you are frightened. Why you have no body? We ask. That is why when we say Brahmarakshasa, Bhutam, Pretam, Pishach and all that kind of things. But vastu is the same person inside both. And so from there you have to understand that why do we get frightened when he doesn't have a body? Because you can see that if he has got a body and he is not giving you any trouble, if he has got a body and he is not giving you any trouble, why do you feel fearful when he hasn't got a body? Why do you think that he'll come and give you trouble? Why do we think like that? We said, oh, ghost haunted. Ghost is there. So many things about the ghost stories, isn't it? People are frightened about the ghost. But if you have a form, you are not frightened. Why is that? Krishna's point is that when you have no body, when you have a body, you are not frightened. But when you have no body, you are frightened. Why? But the one who comes with the body is the same as the one without the body. That is the logic. So, practically, that one which doesn't have a body, he also wants the knowledge of the self. Poor fellow, he is also wandering around. Only thing, he doesn't have a gross body. We also want the knowledge of the self, even though we have got a gross body. Isn't it? So, that is why that Bahurupa Rupidam word is important. Amulametat Bahurupa Rupidam. Bahurupa Rupidam includes all these things. Different kinds of bodies, everything. That is why it said that it appears in different forms. Different forms. But once you have inquired who is he, and you have gone and inquired and did that self-inquiry to that extent and realized the truth, and you are establishing the truth, then what happens? Then you realize that he doesn't exist. That person. This ahankaram doesn't exist. So, till that self-realization happens, this fear will be there all the time with us. So, we are thinking that that how will I escape from this ghost? Sometimes we think, this ghost has haunted me, how will I escape from that? But getting another body, you won't escape from that. existing as in the same body, you will get released. That means ahankaram, whether it has a gross body or not, it doesn't matter. Even in the ghostly body, it can get liberated. It can get liberated. Only thing is, just like you remember in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Gokarna story. In the ghostly existence, he got liberated. He didn't have a gross body. So, gross body is not a mandatory requirement to get liberated. Ahankaram, once it leaves, then you are liberated. That's an important principle. So as a ghostly body itself, liberation was possible. And not by getting another body doesn't mean that you will get liberated. You see? That means that even as a ghostly body got liberated means that he realized that ahankaram is false, even while in the ghostly body. When he realized that ahankaram is false, it is not a real thing, that I am existing, that ahankaram died that time and he is free. That means only Atma exists, ahankaram doesn't exist. So, that is why Atma Dhyanam, Atma Tattva Dhyanam, only due to inquiring about the self, that alone you have to come to this final realization that only Atma exists and everything is Atma. Only in that situation you will get liberated and you will get free from this existence as Pretham or ghostly existence. So, ghostly existence means, you see, even if you have, when you have pride or ahankaram inside, it is a ghostly existence. We are a ghost, as long as this ahankaram or pride is inside. So one has to come out of that ghostly existence. The ghost has got ahankaram. Only thing is, doesn't have a body. We have ahankaram, but we have got a body. That's the only difference. But practically, we and the ghost are in the same category. Because both have got one thing in common. What is that? Ahankaram. So till we get rid of this ahankaram inside, there is no hope in spiritual life. That's the point Krishna is making there. And you will see that in the next verse. In the next verse. Jnanam vivego nigamastapascha pratyaksham aidihyam adhanumanam adhyandayorasya yadeva kevalam kalascha hedushcha tadeva madhye. Jnanam vivego nigamastapascha pratyaksham aidihyam adhanumanam adhyandayorasya yadeva kevalam kalascha hedushcha tadeva madhye. Kalascha hedushcha tadeva madhye. Krishna is saying that adhyandayorasya yadeva kevalam. Adhyam andam. Adhyandayorasya yadeva kevalam. When we talk about tattvam, satyam, what does satyam mean? Satyam means in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end, same vastu. He doesn't change. That is the satyam. He is same in the beginning, same in the middle, same at the end. Adhyam, madhyam, avasanam. That is normally addressed as tattvam, satyam. And that satyam has no change at any time. Which means, Atma has no change at any time. Either in the beginning, or in the middle, or at the end. And there is such a thing inside us. All of us have. And that is what we are experiencing in the form of awareness. Our existence. Astitva, it is called. And that we are experiencing all the time. When we are born, awareness was there. I am existing. When we die also, we know we exist. Body is going, isn't it? So the awareness never leaves us. It's existing all the time. And to that existence of awareness of that existence, to make that fully conscious in us, it's there, we know it, but to make the fully conscious of its existence or awareness, it is for that purpose that all this knowledge, shastram, discrimination, austerities, penances, and whatever Krishna has spoken there, vivegam, negamas, tapascha, pratyaksham, aidhisham, adhanumanam, all of them. Pratyaksham means direct perception, anumanam means inference, and all the other pramanam, agamam and other things. For what purpose? To make us aware, that this awareness, to make us experience that awareness strongly. Because that's a permanent thing inside. There's nothing else permanent here in this package. Body is not permanent. Mind is not permanent. Senses are not permanent. Intelligence is not permanent. And the hangaram is also not permanent. Then what is permanent here? Only the awareness. Krishna is saying here, jnanam, vivegam, nigamam, tapasya, pratyaksham, aidihyam, anumanam. All of them. Adyandayorasya deva kevalam kalascha duschata deva madhye. Only for this one purpose, to make ourselves fully aware that this is the only vastu, the truth, which is mentioned, Vedyam Vastavamatra Vastu Shivadam. That's what it is. See, all Shastram is trying to do is to make us aware of our pure identity of Atma, soul, awareness. And to whatever that helps to get that awareness inside, for that purpose we have the knowledge spoken in the Shastram, then power of discrimination, and then direct perception, inference, and all the other authorities like the Vedam, Upanishads, all the Pramanam, everything. Because, for what purpose? Because in the beginning, in the middle and the end, he is the only Vastu who does not change. And therefore he is called Sat. To get a clear understanding of the Sat. What a Sat means? Because at the moment, we don't have any concept about that. What Sat means, isn't it? We say Sat. Sat means this, that Vastu which does not have any change in the beginning, middle and the end, all the time remains as it is, and which we are experiencing at the moment in the form of awareness. So, to confirm that awareness is the only truth, all the help of Shastram, discrimination, austerities and penances, the knowledge, direct perception, inference, and all the authorities in the Vedam, everything is used. And at the same time, while making the importance of this awareness, existence of the awareness, and knowing that, at the same time, knowing that, all other things which is not a part of that, we have to learn to reject that also. Because it is mithya. It is mithya. And therefore, it is for this purpose, Krishna is saying, this whole Shastram is spoken. Shastram is spoken. So, and one who has got this, Tattva Jnanam, one who is established in that tattvam, for him, and who has known that truth, and one who is always identifying with that awareness all the time, who remains as he is throughout, forever, and he has to come to that state. One has to come to that state. At the moment we are thinking, we will die one day, is it not? We also know sometimes we accept that we will take birth again after leaving this body. So if I am thinking like that, that means Tattva Jnanam has not come. That's what it means. Once Tattva Jnanam comes, that you are aware that you have no death, you have no birth. Your pure existence, awareness, pure existence. If you got established in that state, then you will never think that I'm going to die again. I'm going to take birth again. Because that problem of birth and death is only for the ahankaram. When you are not platform of the soul instead of the platform of ahankaram alone, you will have that problem. That is what Krishna is saying here. That once you realize the truth that your existence, pure existence, awareness, and you are situated in that state, then these things will not be of any relevance to you. Krishna has spoken that in a different way before. Dehastho bina dehastha vidvan swapnan yadotida adehastho bina dehastha kumati swapnadrak yatha. That verse is exactly the same thing. Krishna is saying, dehastham, why do we feel that we will die one day? Because we have identification with the body. That is why we are fearful about the death. So, when we are listening to Krishna's words, you have to listen to it from different levels. And same Krishna is saying to us that body will thought always frighten you. Throughout life it is frightening you. So, when Krishna says that, he is saying from the platform of the body. When Krishna is talking to us from the platform of the soul, he is saying, if you are in the platform of the soul, then this body's appearance and disappearance will not have any effect on you. So, everything is from which level, from which platform Krishna has spoken that particular thing. For one who is in total identification with the body, and one who is not realized anything, the truth inside, for him he has to be always fearful. That's what Krishna is saying. Material existence is truth for him. He will experience the miseries of material world and he will suffer from the process of cycle of birth and death. That is cannot be avoided, Krishna is saying. And in that state, the body will totally, will constantly frighten you, as he said before. Vadyasevana tushtida. So, here now, Krishna is saying here that till you come definite, till you become firm on this realization that I am that vastu, I am that vastu which does not change, which exists all the time. That means you have to be situated on the platform of awareness, bodham, sandram, anandam, avabodham. So, avabodham or awareness has to be very much realized inside. And in that situation, Krishna is saying here that you have already come to the proper state. Therefore, the lower states like identification with the body and all will not frighten you anymore because it doesn't exist for you. Because you are identifying with the real self. You are not identifying with the body. So, only while identifying with the body, the fear of material existence is there, the cycle of birth and death is there, and all the problems associated with material existence comes. Shogam, harsham, bhayam, krodham, lobham, moham, spriha, everything what he has spoken here, isn't it? So, that is the important principle he is saying here. Jnanam, vivekam, nigamam, tapasya, pratyaksham, aidihyam, anumanam. All those things. Ardhyandayorasaya deva kevalam kalascha hedushcha tadeva madhye. This verse is a little bit confusing. Because if you take, give a little attention to that, you will understand what Krishna is saying there. Because Krishna didn't keep any connection here in this verse with anything. For example, time, space, and the cause, all these things are, you are seeing in the Prakriti, only in the Prakriti. That is why, when somebody is talking about the soul, one who is established in the platform of the soul, and when he is speaking from the platform of the soul, you should not put your conditions on his statements. That's an important principle. When a realized person, when he is situated on the platform of the soul and speaking from that platform, you must always be conscious that your conditions like time, space, and different causes and effect of that, what we have in the normal conversations, those things you should not impose on his statements. Why? Because he is not speaking in the same state like we are now. We are subject to birth and death because we have the fear of death. That shows that we are subject to fear of death, birth and death. We have all the emotions, like Krishna said that Shoka, Harsha, Bhaya, Krodha, Lobha, Moham, Spruha, all these things are there. When all these things are present, one set of rules for that. When you are on the platform of the soul, another set of rules there. And these rules you can't put there. That's what in this verse it is. So therefore, these things will be only there. What we are now talking about, what? The Shogam, Harsham, Bhayam, Krodham, Lobham, Moham, Spruha, birth, death, time, space, all these things is only when the Prakriti is there. Material nature is present. Only in that spectrum you can talk about that. You can't talk about that to a liberated soul who is in another level altogether. But normally we don't remember all these things, isn't it? We go see anybody and we ask questions. We fire questions away one after the other. Not knowing. And if he gives an answer, you say, oh, he couldn't answer my question. Well, how can he answer your question? Because you are coming from this level and he's answering from that level. These two things doesn't join up. One level is full of ahankaram and full of all the other problems of this world. Fully identifying with the body, you are asking the question. And then he is saying that the answer is not very satisfying, he is saying. And that person is answering totally out of the body, from a level completely different. For him, body doesn't exist. And he's answering from that level. And you are saying that he didn't answer my question. So what to do? It's interesting, isn't it? How foolish the whole world is when you think about that. All kinds of things people ask questions. And they think they are very intelligent. They ask the question. But more than your intelligence, this realization is more important. When you have high realizations like the way Krishna is talking about, when those realizations are there in a person, all your these so-called questions has no validity. So therefore, till you come to that state, that is one example, I'll tell you that. Sometimes when people are in that state, they are not even aware that their body is having problems because they have gone out of the body, right? But for a person who is looking from outside, he's seeing his suffering. Then he's saying, look at him, whole life he has practiced a spiritual life. He is also suffering like me. This is what you will say about him. People will say like that, wouldn't they? He says, look at him. Why should I practice spiritual life? At the end it's going to be like this. This is how we will make conclusions like this within ourselves. We will judge people on our present state, present way of thinking, present understanding, in other words. But that person is not suffering. He has gone from the body. But the body appears to us existing. Why? Because his prarabdham has not gone. Prarabdham is keeping the body still. When the prarabdham finishes, that body goes. But he has already left the body. Prarabdham is for the body, not for Atma. That you have to remember. Prarabdham is not for the Atma. Atma is gone. Body has to suffer the prarabdham. And so the prarabdham, because the prarabdham, body remains. And we will look at the body and make this comment. This person practiced a spiritual life, chanted Hare Krishna. What happened? Where's the difference between him and me? He's also suffering, I am also suffering. This is how we will make the comment about it. We won't understand. We will think like that there is no difference. But there is difference. Only he knows it. And he cannot prove it to us. Look, I am not suffering. How will you prove to somebody I am not suffering? It's not possible, is it? to prove to somebody that I am not suffering, how will I prove? I am suffering, I can show it to you. But I am not suffering, how will I show it to you? So this is the difficulty. So that is why this verse, what Krishna is saying there, Jnanam Vivego, each of these verses is all Krishna is speaking from a person in a very advanced state, realized state practically. Krishna is saying that this is how it is. It's up to us to accept it or not. That's up to the person. But at least to know that such a state does exist, that must we should accept. Even if we don't get to there, at least we should accept it, that there is such a state. Otherwise, all the Shastram, Uddhavadesham, what meaning has it got if it is not existing there like that? So, that is why he is saying here. So all these things, what you are seeing now here, birth, death, old age, disease, all these emotions, everything is in the Prakriti. It's only in the Prakriti it is there. When you are in the Prakriti, you have this, all these things. Birth, death, all those things. Once you have left the Prakriti and free from the Prakriti, then these things don't have any effect. If you remember the first verse when we discussed the Shramurti Stotram, go back to that and see what it said. Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari tulyam nijandargadam pashyan atmani mayaya bahirivol budham yadha nidraya yat sakshan kurude prabodha samaye svalpanam eva advayam tasmai shri gurumurtaye namaidam shri dakshinamurtaye. That first verse itself is the same statement. Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari tulyam nijandargadam pashyan atmani Mayaya Behirivol Budam Yatha Nidraya Yes Sakshal Kurude Prabhoda Samaye Swalpana Meva Dwayam Tasmai Shri Gurumurtaye Namaidam Shri Dakshinamurtaye. So there also we mentioned there that Vishwam Pashyati Karyakaranadaya Suswami Sambandada Shishya Acharitadaya Tadaiva Pitraputradi Alpmana Bhedadaha Sutli Jagradiva Eva Purusho Maya Paribramidaha. Because you will see there in the conclusion of that thing of the Dakshinamurti Stotram, there is also another verse also, the 8th verse, Vishwam Pashyadi Karyakaranadaya Swami Sambandada Shishya Ajaridaya Tadaiva Pitraputra Dhyalpana Bhedada Swatne Jagradivasa Esha Purusho Maya Paribramita Tasmai Shri Gurumurtaye. See, Vishwam Pashyadi Karyakaranadaya Swami Sambandada Shishya Ajaridaya Tadaiva Pitraputra Dhyalpana Bhedada Swatne Jagradivasa Esha Purusho Maya Paribramita. So, what Krishna is saying here is the same thing, that when you are looking at the world, you are seeing all these differences in the world, all the differences in the world, and lot of duality also, dvandvam, everywhere. But these dualities and this, or the what we call as the tripudi, or the dvandvam, all these are existing because underlying all these things there is an adhishtanam, which is Atma, or Brahman, whatever you call it. So in the adhishtanam, there is no tribudi, no dvandvam. In the adhishtanam means the basis, right? Where everything is happening. Dvandvam you are experiencing in the prakriti, duality. And also you are experiencing the tribudi. In the prakriti. But to know this tribudi and the dvandvam, you won't use the shastram. Shastram is not used for that purpose. Tribudi and dvandvam, why you don't need the shastram? Because
Just by talking about it, you will understand it. You don't need a shastram for that. Like, for example, to talk about happiness and distress, even without shastram, we can discuss that. Is it not? Similarly, to talk about the, say, any kind of duality in the material nature, it doesn't require any explanation. Shastram is not required to talk about that. Shastram is only to talk about the adhishtanam, not about the dvandvam, not about the tribudi, not about the tribudi. So, because in the adhishtanam, adhishtanam means the basis, where there is no tribudi nor dvandvam, and Krishna, that is what Krishna is saying here. Jnanam, vivegam, nigamam, tapascham, then pratyaksham, aidhiham, anuma, adhanumanam, adhyandayo rasya deva kevalam, kalascha hedushcha tadeva madhyem. Adhyandayo asya deva kevalam, and kalascha hedushcha tadeva madhyem. That vastu which is in all these states existing, only to understand him, that vastu, only for that purpose, you require jnanam, vivegam, nigamam, tapasya, pratyaksham, aidhiham, anumanam. All those things required. And but to know the dualities of the material nature, without shastram we can understand. To conclude about the nature of this world doesn't require shastram very much. By looking at it, you can see, you are seeing changes happening in the nature, changes happening in the body, changes happening in the mind. You don't need a shastram for that, is it not? And it should not be, shastram should not be used to study these things. Shastram should not be used for studying these things. Because you will see one thing here, that people are using this for studying this body, studying the mind, studying the world. Krishna's point is, shastram has been spoken not for that purpose. It's been spoken for to know that truth which is the underlying principle of all these things. So, and once you know that thing, the underlying principle, then you will know that it is that vastu has come in the form of everything else. Kalam, hedu, time, space, nimittam, cause, everything. Because all these things are not real. That is why. See, what explains to us about sat, you should not use it for to study asat. You see, point? Because then you will not reach the sat properly if you use it for knowing the asat. You should use that knowledge to know the sat. And what will happen is, when you realize the sat properly, you will know that it is that same vastu that is standing in front of us in the form of asat. See the logic? Krishna's point, important. Eh? That he is saying there, that use the shastra to study the sat, the truth. After that you will realize it. And when you realize it, you will know that it is the sat what is inside is standing outside in the form of asat, in the form of body, in the form, it has all come from that source. That is the source, not this, not this. So that is why it remains as though, and that from the same chit has come in the form of mind, in the form of vasanas, in the form of all other things. These are all secondary things that has come from that. But the basic, very primary thing is the vastu inside. And that is where shastram is required, to know that vastu inside. Otherwise you don't need the shastram. Because shastram's role, Krishna is defining there, what that role is there. So, and once you have known that vastu inside, what it is, ega vijnanena sarva vijnanam bhavandi, yad vijnanate sarva vijnanam bhavandi. And that is why you will see in the next verse what Krishna is saying there. Yatha hiranyam sugridam purasthal paschascha sarvasya hiranmayasya tadeva madhye vyavaharyamanam nanapadeshe iraham asya tadvad. यथा हिरण्यं सुकृतं पुरस्ताल् पश्चाश्च सर्वस्य हिरण्मयस्य तदेव मध्ये व्यवहार्यमाणं नानापदेशैरहमस्य तद्वद्। सो यथा हिरण्यं लाइक गोल्ड, हिरण्यम इज गोल्ड, दैट इफ यू हैव turned it into jewelry, gold has turned into jewelry, then once you have turned into jewelry, it becomes bangles, it becomes chain, and then it becomes a ring, or you can use for the noses, and various ways, turns into different forms, isn't it? Hiranyam, gold is turned into different forms, and you give different names to it at that time. It's the same gold, only thing is it's changed its form. When it has changed its form, you are given a different name to it, different name and form. And you can add another new name if you want to give anything more to it. So many things you are making from the gold in this way. And sometimes with the gold, when you have a lot of money, a lot of gold, you build also temples with the gold, golden temple and all that. You can make a car also with the gold. And in this way, and some people, they have golden taps in the bathroom. Isn't it? They use the gold to give you, make you feel how posh they are. So, but whether you use it in the bathroom, whether you use it on your neck, the gold is gold at the end. So, only thing is, you give another name to it when it has changed its form. That means Vavaharam. Vavaharam, it has changed its name. And in Vavaharam, you can use it for all different kinds of purposes. You can make a pen with the gold. Golden pens are there. And some people put teeth with the gold. Have you seen that? Golden teeth. Look very impressive, isn't it? And when they smile, it's nice to look at them. All the golden teeth shining. What all things people do with the gold? They are saying that if all the time, if you have gold in the teeth, or golden teeth is there, it will do good for you. Gold is also a medicine in some ways. But when they die, their relatives, what do they do first? They'll take that out. Golden teeth, they'll take it out. And that is the only problem. When you die, first thing they'll take it out of you is your teeth. So, gold is for Vyavaharam. For Vyavaharam it is beneficial, isn't it? But before all this happened, it is gold. It is gold. And when it going through this Vyavaharam, that is Tadeva Madhye, also it is gold. And after the later on, when you take that out and you bring it back into its original form, after your Vyavaharam, it is again gold. It remains as gold, isn't it? So, in the beginning it's gold, during Vyavaharam it's gold, and similarly, at the end also, it is gold. Gold is same. But it went through all the changes. Similarly, Atma remains the same in the beginning. But when you are seeing Atma in the form of this world, creation, in the body, in the mind and everything, it is still Atma, but change the form. In another form you are perceiving it, but it is Atma. While it is doing all the Vyavaharam in this world, it is still Atma. And while doing Vyavaharam, you are getting so many emotions inside. At that time, that is also Atma. The emotions that's coming from you is also Atma. And finally, when everything is finished, the body is dead and gone to the grave, and what remains is still Atma. So, this Atma's nature, one has to know that the original Atma, pure consciousness, existence, awareness, what we are, that is the gold. And that has turned into all these different forms, like the way we are now. And including all those emotions that's coming, it's only because of Atma it's coming. The emotions also.
different experiences in life, all the vyavaharams what we do, everything is due to the presence of the Atma. That is why. So, and Krishna is saying here, you are seeing that, feeling that awareness, aham, aham, that awareness also, I am, ahangaram also, is also Atma. Is also Atma. And it is only due to the presence of Atma, you are feeling this me, you, he, she, all these things. It's also coming. All these things are happening because of the presence of that Atma inside. Atma inside. And it is him who is changing like this and making us this experience of differences in this world. And only thing is, when you go into deep sleep state, he remains as pure gold. That's why it is. In deep sleep, it's pure gold. Right? And in vacant state and in the dream state, he conducts his vyavaharam in different ways. At that time, me, you, he, she, all other things comes, they, them, us and them and all kinds of things comes in the vyavaharam stage. And again, it is all the objects in this world also, creation as well. So, and again, when you go into Sushupti, this whole things become solid and it disappears. Prajna, it becomes, and that is the time when he is called Prajnana Ghanam. Ghanam means that weight he is carrying. Why is that weight? Weight is this, that when he, Prajna, when he came out, and it takes all these different products in this world, different persons, different objects, and different things, everything what you are in experience coming through you, all that things in the night, in the deep sleep, it comes together and becomes a solid thing. Solid means, not in the material sense, solid. Solid means it becomes a something that dissolves and disappears. Is it not? In the Sushupti state. Whole thing comes and disappears together. And in the morning it comes out as one and then expands into all these different things. So Krishna is saying here that when that prajna means that consciousness, awareness. Prajna, when it is accepting everything like this and releasing it in the morning after the deep sleep state, he was Prajnana Ghanam. He was called. Ghanam means he is carrying that whole thing in him. Imagine the whole creation, what you are now experiencing, is brought back together and taken it in. And in the morning when you wake up from the deep sleep, the same person is able to release everything and bring you back about the full awareness of the whole thing. That is the power of Atma. Look at that power, Atma's power. And we don't even care about him. Who is doing this? That is why studying Atma is a very intricate thing. It's such a complex thing when you look at it. That that the experience of this world, experience of our body, experience of the mind, experience of all other people in this world, experience of all this knowledge what we are collecting up in the university, colleges, everywhere, research, what we are doing, all that thing, everything, he is capable of bringing it together and taking it in. And in Sushupti states, he keeps the whole thing away from you. Prajna, pure prajna. Then prajnana ghanam, that means carrying this whole knowledge of everything, awareness of everything, that is called prajnana ghanam. Prajnana ghanam. So initially he is only one, and that one became many, and then he becomes one again. And what's happening now is that the one thing we are seeing as many, but we have to come back and see this as one again. That is the principle. At the moment you are seeing it as the bangles and the chain and the ring and anklets and all other things, isn't it? But instead of that we have to see it like the gold, or we have to see it like Atma. So all this is the Shastram Krishna is talking about. And this happens through Atma Dhyanam, through the knowledge of the self and realization of the self. And that should never be
forgotten. That is the Shastram. So when we are presenting something with the logic, that if you find anything in the logic fault in the logic, then we think about that fault, how to free that fault from the logic. But these are things which you have to think and think all the time about this, and through meditation and thought power you have to establish that inside strongly. Establish that inside. So that means whatever you are seeing here is nothing but soul, Atma. And the person who is seeing is Atma. And through constant meditation and through constant acceptance of this instructions, what Krishna has given to Uddhava and also what is spoken in the Upanishads, if you keep on reading and reading and reading and analyzing it, when it starts, that realization, what you have experienced in the vacant state, or what you have studied very well and analyzed it and evaluated everything you have done in the vacant state as much as you can. And eventually, when this realization start coming in the dream state, then you can say that it is working. Right? After this knowledge, what Krishna has spoken here, if you have accepted that and you have followed this process seriously and studied it and strengthened it by studying, thinking about it, meditating on that, taken it seriously. Not that intellectually understood and left it like that. No. You have to absorb it into your own consciousness. And if you have accepted in deeper level, then what will happen is, in a vacant state, it may not come out totally, but it will start coming out in the dream state stronger, much more stronger in the dream state. That is what the rishis are saying. They are saying like that. They are saying like this, that in dream state, it should come first, because when you are seeing various things in the dream, even at that time, when the yogi is talking about a yogi, his chittam or subtle body is seeing many things, but he knows in the vacant state that everything is Atma. And everything what I am seeing is Atma, I am Atma, and I am person who is speaking is Atma, and all the thought waves that is coming inside is Atma. This is the meditations you have in the vacant state. If you keep on meditating this in the vacant state, and if it has become very powerful inside that meditation, and it has become very strong inside that realization, in which case what will happen is, when you are sleeping and when you go into the dream state, you will see the same realization affecting you in the dream state. And it happens in the dream state, you can say that it has started entering you. Up to that point, it is taken that it is still on an intellectual level. See that? Because intellectual level, it is easy to understand all these things. It's not such a rocket science that they are talking about. But bringing it into the realization state, that is where all the difficulty is. We all understand intellectually everything. If it is explained very well, then it is possible to understanding it. But it has not come into experience level yet. When do you say it has come into experience level? When, in the vacant state, if you have studied it, analyzed it, scrutinized it very well, studied the Upanishads again and again and again, listening to it, thinking about it, what Krishna is saying, and you are fairly well convinced inside this is the truth. Right? But that conviction what you have in the vacant state, if when you go into the dream state, even when the dream is happening, chitavrittis are happening, when all those things are happening, even at that time, you will see there that this awareness, what you have experienced in the vacant state, if it is following you there,
and making you aware that it has gone deeper into you. That's the proof. The Swapnam is an indication of a deeper level penetration of the spiritual knowledge. When the spiritual knowledge is penetrated deeply inside, then it will come, have its effect in the Swapnam, in the dream state. That is the point Krishna's making there. So it should come like that. Only then you can more or less say that, but what's happening to us? We study all these books and put it in the shelf. And then in the dream, who comes? The boss comes, wife comes, or husband comes, children comes, or our more than anything, our enemies come in the dream. That doesn't show very good, is it? So, from there we know where we stand. So, that's the important point. Yeah? That the spiritual life is real. That something who is practicing it, this is for jnanis who are practicing it very seriously. For those who are practicing it very seriously. And it enters inside, deeply penetrates inside, and it will even penetrate into the Swapnam state. Swapna Mandalam, it is called. That field of dreams. And there it will have its effect. And if it is come like that, only then you can say your Nididhyasanam is powerful. There are three states, isn't it? Three processes. Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Shravanam is hearing. Mananam is contemplation on that later. Nididhyasanam is what you have heard, what you have contemplated, and then the truth what you have understood, able to hold on to that. That is Nididhyasanam. Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. In Yanamargam it is like that. So, if your Nididhyasanam is powerful, if it is working very well, the proof of that is in the dream state. Then it will penetrate into the dream state and show it to you that it is working. And then you can go ahead with that without any further... you know you got it and it will hold on to it, and what will happen is it will come in the dream state and then it will become a permanent established inside. It will go like that. So, and only when it comes into that dream state like that, only then you will be able to handle Vyavaharam properly. Now, what happens to us? As soon as Vyavaharam comes, we are gone. Our spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding, everything stays in the books. In Vyavaharam, we will deal with him exactly like the way he is dealing with us. Or we will think completely with our mind and our ego and our... senses, we will deal with the Vyavaharam, isn't it? There is no. But when this happens, the power of Nididhyasanam has gone into the dream state and it is showing it, then you know that you will be able to deal with the Vyavaharam and the Samsaram equally. It will not have any, cause any problems at that stage. So, that is what Krishna is saying here, that before this got established in the truth, you didn't know this awareness is the because what happened now? That's what he's saying. Yatha hiranyam sugridam purastad paschascha sarvasya hiranmayasya tadeva madhye vyavaharyamanam nanapadeshe ahamasya tadvad. In that one verse, Krishna has packed all these things into it. He's saying there, then tadeva madhye vyavaharyamanam, in the middle vyavaharam happens, right? But in that vyavaharam effect, if you do not want that to... vyavaharam brings material miseries, isn't it? When you are doing vyavaharam, that is what causes all the problems. It upsets the whole situation, right? And then we deal with it like this. We say, what can we do? Vyavaharam has to go on. So we try to do Vyavaharam, and then when there is no time for Vyavaharam, we come to spiritual life. When there is no time for when there is no time for interest in spiritual life, we go for Vyavaharam. Vivaharam is like a ghost haunting us from beginning to end. So, but if our spiritual life has become strong through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, and proper realization has come, and if it has got start penetrating into the deep, into the dream state, then you can say that your Vivaharam and your material existence cannot overpower you anymore. You will able to get a control on the Vyavaharam, control over the Vyavaharam. So, and at that time, what's the situation? You know very well.
Adhyandam atadeva madhe Vyavaharyamanam nanabadeshe ahamasya tadvad.
Nanabadeshe ahamasya tadvad. Actually, it is me, Alma, who is doing all this Vyavaharam, is coming from him. And therefore, Vyavaharam is not disturbing because you are identifying with Atma, not with the Vyavaharam. When you are doing Vyavaharam, what's happening? Ahangaram is there, right? In Vyavaharam, Ahangaram is there. And Ahangaram is identifying with the body and the mind during the Vyavaharam. But when you are identifying with Atma, instead of identifying with the, at that time, Ahangaram is not there. Ahangaram is the one which goes and identifies with everything. And therefore you are experiencing the problems of Vyavaharam, miseries of Vyavaharam. But when it is identifying with Atma, Krishna is saying that Tadeva Madhye Vyavaharyamanam Nana Abadeshai Ahamasya Tadvad. At that time you are fully conscious that I am Atma. I am Atma. Therefore Atma has no Vyavaharam and you won't experience the miseries of Vyavaharam either. Why do we feel the miseries of Vyavaharam? Because of Ahangaram inside. So, why Krishna saying all these things is that if you want to finish up the material existence or samsaram, the only solution, we talked about it yesterday, then Ahangaram has to go. If the Ahangaram is inside, Vyavaharam will be there, misery will be there. It will never go. That is the important principle. After saying this, look at the next verse, what Krishna says.
Vijnanamedatriyavastamangam gunatrayam karana karyakartram samanyayena vidiregadascha yena ivaturiyena tadeva satyam. Vijnanamedatriyavastamangam gunatrayam karana karyakartram samanyayena vidiregadascha yena ivaturiyena tadeva satyam. Yena ivaturiyena tadeva satyam. Yena ivaturiyena tadeva satyam.
Krishna is saying there that these three states, three avastha, what are they? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. These three avastha. And the three modes of nature, Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, three modes of nature. Then, Karanam, Karyam, Kartratvam. The Karta, the doer, the cause of the doer thing, and the effect. Cause, effect, and the cause behind it. In these three ways it exists. Edat vijnanam is the same knowledge that is existing in these three forms. Actually, these things one can hear and then one has to take very serious. Only then you can understand all these things properly. The really advanced jnanis, they are so absorbed in that. These topics, right? What Krishna is saying here is that you are seeing three states, right? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. You also have these three modes of nature, Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. Then when it comes to karmam, you also have that kartratvam inside. Then you also have the effect of your karma, whatever that has happened from that. And what has prompted you from inside, karanam behind it. Karanam, karyam, kartava, karyam, karanam. Three things. In these three patterns, in these three forms, what comes out, Krishna is saying that karana, karya, kartram, samanyu yenam vidreka dascha, yenaiva turiyana tadeva satyam. Who is this present in these three forms? Edad vijnanam is the same knowledge. Same knowledge has come in front of us. in the form of Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti. It has come in the form of Satugunam, Rajagunam, Tamagunam. It has come in the form of doer and effect, cause and effect. So, and that is what we studied in that Sotram also, Dakshinamurti Sotram. Vishwam Pashyati Karya Karanataya. Same thing. There's no difference at all. Vishwam Pashyati Karya Karanataya. So Swami Sambandada Shishyacharya Daya Tadaiva Pitruputra Dhyatmana Bhedada. So master and servant is the same Atma who comes as master and the servant, and disciple and the guru, who is it? Same Atma who comes. So on a higher level, when you look at it, you can see these separations does not exist. He comes in the form of disciple and the guru, who same Atma. That's why Shishya Acharya Daya Tathaiva Pitraputra Dhyatmana Bhedada. Father and the son is the same. One comes in the body as father, and the same person comes into another, the same Atma comes in one body as the father and another body as the son. Where is the difference? Pitraputra Dhyatmana Bhedada. Similarly, Swapne Jagrati Eva Sa Esha Purusho Maya Paribhramita. This is all Maya's potency, able to use Atma to manifest in these different various forms in front of us. Then we, after the forms have come, then we say, oh, his father, his son, his mother, his father, daughter, all these identities we give it to after that. But before all these things happened, what was it? Atma. That's why Vishwam Pashyati, this is called Karya Karanada. Karyam Karanam. Cause and effect. Karya Karanadaya, same thing, master and servant. But in Vyavaharam, you can't say that. Suppose I go to my boss and tell him, you and me are same. He won't accept that. Would he? He will say, you should know where you stand. I know where I stand. He'll say. So this is, that is Ajnanam. If he is realized in through the Dakshinamurti Sotram, then you can tell him. But if he doesn't have that, there's no point in telling. So what I'm saying is, Ajnanam, Avidya is such a deep-rooted thing inside. When you look at it from the spiritual point of view, there is no difference. Karya Karanataya. So Swami Sambandada. What master, what servant? Where is the master and servant? No. Shishya Acharya Daya. What Acharya, what Shishya? And Tadhaiva Pitruputra Adhyatmanam Bhedada. Father and son. What father, what son? Only on the bodily level you can say all these things. Is it not? Similarly, Sakne Jagrati Vasa Esha Purusho. All of this is Maya's, Maya Paribhramita. Maya can do all these things. And we accept all this as truth, even though Maya has done it. Tasmai Shri Guru Murthy. So that is the same thing Krishna is mentioning here in this verse. He is saying this, that same knowledge, here it is called as Vijnanam, knowledge. Knowledge is the word for Atma there. It is addressed as knowledge. So, the same knowledge is manifesting in different forms, and we are feeling it like that. Oh, the father is there, the mother is there, the brother is there, sister is there, all these kind of things. And that is what Krishna is saying there. Vijnana medat priyavastha angam gunatrayam karana karyakartram samanyayenam vidriyakadascha Yenaiva Turiana Tadeva Satyam. Yenaiva Turiana Tadeva Satyam. Vijnanamekam. Vijnanamekam. That one knowledge of the soul. Atma is addressed as knowledge there. There is no other English word for that. Knowledge, that's the way. Jnanam. If you translate in that way. So, Jnanam is manifesting in all these different forms. And that is why Krishna is saying here, the same one knowledge you are experiencing in different names and forms here.
That means karanam, karyam, kartratvam, samanyayenam, vidrekatascha. And this is established through what is known as anyaya vidrekam. Remember? In Bhagavadam is full of anyaya vidrekam. Anyaya vidrekam. So, through anyayam and vidrekam, you can see this, that in Sushupti, anyaya vidrekam does not work in Sushupti. Anyaya vidrekam does not work in Sushupti. And in vacant state and the dream state, anyayam vidrekam exist. Anyaya vidrekam exist. And that what you are experiencing in the Sushupti state, that Satta, or your knowledge, or what that is experienced in the form of, in the deep sleep, what you are experiencing, and that Vastu is the same, or Satta it is called, that is the same thing present in the vacant state and in the dream state as well. So, Anyaya Vidrekam, that you have to know well, what Anyaya Vidrekam means. Gold, when it turns into jewelry, it is still gold. It is still gold. Similarly, pure consciousness, bodham, awareness, when that turns into all these forms and names and different products, everything, whatever it is there, it's the same thing. When it takes namarupam, namam and rupam, and the world, and the ubhadi, ubhadi means body, mind, intelligence, all these things, mind, everything, it is the same thing. When the gold turns into jewelry, it is still gold. Right? Similarly, Atma, which here addressed as vijnanam or knowledge, when it turns into all these things, manifestations of the world, different forms and names, and we give different names to it and calls it by different forms, different names like that. Even though it is taking all these forms, it is still pure consciousness, Atma. It is still Atma. And it is that Atma alone that you are seeing and different forms and names and experiencing now in the form of mind, in the form of body, in the form of ahangaram, in the form of senses, indriyam, and everything like that, which are the upadhis, right? They are the upadhi, which one? The body, mind, intelligence. So what you are seeing as upadhi, what you are seeing this world, what you are seeing everything here, namarupam, is all nothing but that Atma. That Atma itself. And in vacant state, in the dream state, in the deep sleep, in these three states, it does not have, when it does not, make it clear. Anvayam vidrekam, right? Gold remains as gold in its pure form. You turn that into jewelry and other things, it's changed its form and name, Vastu is the same. Is it not? Similarly, Atma also, when in its pure form, it remains as Atma or knowledge, whatever that is. And even when it is in these three states, vacant state, dream state and deep sleep, he is still remaining as Atma without any Vedirekam. Vedirekam is the change that is what is happening to the Vastu. And Krishna is saying, who is in these three states, vacant state, dream state and deep sleep, he is the same person when he goes into Turiyam, the fourth state. When he leaves all the three states and goes away, he remains the same. He doesn't change. Yeah? Vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep,
in all the three states without any Vedrigam. Vedrigam doesn't happen to him. He is not changing. Even though all these things are appearing in the world, body is appearing, mind is appearing, intelligence is appearing, ahankaram is appearing, the world is appearing. But he is not changing. He is able to remain as he is. And that's vastu, what is in that state. When you go into the fourth state, that means all these three states have left you. Vacant state, dream state, deep sleep has left you. It's gone. And when the three states have left, then what remains then? Turiyam, the fourth state, realized state. Even in that state also, he remains the same. Which one? The jnanam or the atma remains the same. And it is that is how you have to accept this realization. And so Krishna says to Uddhava, engage your mind in that vastu. Engage your mind in that and try to bring that realization into your experience level of that vastu which is unaffected in all the three states and which moves on to the fourth state completely unaffected by everything else. So try to remain in that state and bring that into your experience level. And that is what is called Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam means that in the three states, what the truth is, when it leaves, the three modes of material nature has gone away. That means vacant state, dream state and deep sleep has gone away. And at that state, what are you? What that state? Bring that into experience level. You can only say all these things, but most of us are sleeping already. What can you do? That is the difficulty. We know only two things. What? Sleep. And half awake state. So, Jnanamargam is not easy. Jnanamargam is difficult. But Krishna has spoken these things there. So we have to, it is on the basis of that we are speaking all these things. But I know it is not going to happen to any one of us because of the complexity of the thing. What, to prove to us that how difficult Jnanamargam is. At least that much if we realize it, it's good. That Jnanam, you can say Jnanam and all. It is only for exceptional personalities who had. And when you see that in some people who had practiced it in several lifetimes, then you will notice it in them, that strength inside them. There are many people like that, still there. And when you see that, you know what they are talking about, what Krishna is talking about. That, so, so I think we'll have a break now. We'll continue after a few minutes. Chedo darpanamarjanam bhavamahat dhavagninurvapanam shreya kaidava chandriga vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandham budivardhanam pradipada purnamrudaswadhanam sarvatna subhanam param vijayade shri krishna sangirtanam namna mahari bahudanija sarva shakti സ്മരണേന കാലം ഏദൃശീ തവ കൃപാ ഭഗവൻ മമാപി ദുർദൈവമീദൃശമിഹാജനിഗാഹമിഷുനീശേന തരോരഭി സഹിഷ്ണുന അമാനിലാമാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാഹരി സുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശ കാമയേ मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरे भवदात् भक्तिरहे दुगित्वयि नन्ददनुजकिङ्करं पतितामां शमे भवाम्बुदौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितदूले सदृशं विचिन्तय नयनं क्रदश्रुधारय वदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलकैर्निजितं कदा वभू तव मम ग्रहणे भविष्यति യുഗായുധം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായുധം ശൂന്യായുധം ജഗൽ സർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേണ മേ ആശ്രയ്യ വാ പാദരതാം വിനഷ്ടു മാം അദർശനാം മർമഹതാം കരോതു വാ
सर्वत्र गोविंद नाम संकीर्तनम् गोविंद गोविंद
In Ekadasha Skandam, in this 28th chapter, after instructing all other things to Uddhava, Krishna wanted that Uddhava should get firmly established in the knowledge of the Self, Jnananishtha. Jnananishtha means to get established firmly there, because mind will always come and cause problems. So Krishna doesn't want that to happen to Uddhava again. You can see Uddhava, after hearing this, is a changed person. You know that. After hearing Ekadasha Skandam, Uddhava was a changed person. How do you know that? You see that in the third canto when Vidura met Uddhava in Vrindavanam. What did Vidura say there about Uddhava? Sneha prasara samplutat purnartho lakshitasena. You will see some words used there. When he looked at Uddhava, he says, it is not the same Uddhava I have seen before. There is something in him. He couldn't figure it out what it is, Vidura says. As though, but Vidura also being a highly learned, realized person, he is saying to, as he is saying there, Purnartho lakshitasena sneha prasara sampluta. This is how he mentions about. Purnartham. Purnartham means, the Upanishad's knowledge has taken a form and it's walking now, like this, in the form of Uddhava. That's how, who says, Vidura says about him. It's not the same old Uddhava whom I knew before. It is that Upanishad's knowledge personified form is walking through Vrindavanam like this. Purnartho lakshitasnena sneha prasara sampluta. That means, from him, it was such a feeling Vidura got from Uddhava, that he has met up with somebody, that they embraced each other. And seeing that Uddhava's happiness inside, because he is experiencing something different than what others are experiencing. And that's why he told Vidura. Vidura asked him, can you instruct me what you got from Krishna? Uddhava says, there's another person waiting there for you in Haridwar, Maitreya Maharshi. He was there with me when Krishna instructed me these things. And he has specifically told in front of me to Maitreya that I have another devotee like Uddhava. He will come. He is wandering around somewhere in the name of pilgrimage. One day he will come to you. You should talk to him the same knowledge what I have spoken to you. In this way Krishna has instructed this to Maitreya Maharshi. So I am not the person to tell you about this. This is how Uddhava excused himself by not mentioning anything about what he heard from Krishna. And then number one, when Vidura heard that, Vidura said, that's fine. Krishna, he was thinking about Krishna, that even while leaving this world, Krishna thought about me. Imagine Vidura's state at that time, how he must have felt. Even while leaving this planet, Krishna remembered me. Vidura started crying, thinking about that affection what Krishna had for Vidura. And at that time, Uddhava says to Vidura that Maitreya Maharshi is waiting for you there in Haridwar. You should go and see him. Vidura says to Uddhava, can I go with you? Because Haridwar is on the way while going to Badrinath. Vidura says, no, you won't be able to follow me. Because this knowledge that has come in from Krishna, it has completely changed me. I am going to walk, you can follow me, but you won't catch up with me. And exactly that's what has happened. Uddhava started walking, Vidura could not follow. Uddhava got to Badrinath very quickly, but it took days for Vidura to get to Haridwar. And then Vidura receives the same instructions from Maitreya Maharshi later, but Vidura had a special... Krishna won't give knowledge to anybody like that. He will see the person first. Is he capable of receiving it? First of all. And Krishna knew this with Uddhava. What did he say? Only when one has that degree of bhakti in the heart, pure bhakti, like the way he spoke about Uddhava, isn't it? He said that, what did he say? He said, Naham Sangarshano Nashri Naivalpmacha Yadha Bhavan. What does that verse begin with? It's in the 14th chapter, I think. That. What does that begin with? Nathadame Priyadama. Atmayonir na Shankara. Naja Sangarshanam. Na Shri. Tathalpmacha Yatha Bhavan. You are dearer to me more than Balram, more than Rukmini, more than Lakshmi Devi, not than Brahma, more than Shiva. You are dear to me. So, keeping all this in the background is why Krishna has spoken all these things to Uddhava. So, in this 28th chapter, is more or less Krishna wants to put Uddhava in that state before he goes away. That is how this is coming here. So, Krishna is saying here, by all means in this world, a person who wants to escape from this mess, material life or whatever, what you call it, right? What he has to acquire is renunciation and knowledge should be there. And in there you can see, vairagyam is vedirekam, jnanam is anvayam. Anvayam vedirekam, we have talked about this many times before, which I'm sure you have forgotten what it is all about. So, what it does, how do we understand that? With vairagyam, what happens is, you lose your connection with the anatma, what is not atma. That's what vairagyam does. Anatma vastu, all connection is broken. From jnanam, what happens? Atma nishta comes. That is how vairagyam and jnanam does its proper function. Jnanam establishes in the atma. Vairagyam takes away all the anatma from inside. Because we have got both inside, isn't it? Atma is there, anatma is also there. So, vairagyam will cut off all that anatma from inside, takes it away from inside. So, that is why they say that in order to be established in the jnana nishtha, if vairagyam is not there, you will not stay there. You will fall from that. That's why in jnanis you will find very intense vairagyam in them. Among the jnanis, you will find that intense vairagyam in them. No attraction for anything in this world. Because they know the nature of the world. What it will only give you distress at the end. Knowing very well, they have already said goodbye to everything. Kept away from there. So, when you have realization of the self, consciousness of consciousness, along with that, vairagyam joins that, then that is that that you become the emperor of your own world, or spiritual world, in other words. So, finally, to Uddhava, Krishna is saying here, after instructing so many other things, isn't it? What we have seen in Ekadasham before, Dattatreya Gita, Hamsa Gita, Aila Gita, Bhishu Gita, all other Gitas have instructed, Varnashama Dharmam was instructed, is it not? Then Vibhudis were spoken, 24 spiritual masters were spoken, several topics were discussed before. After doing that, finally, Krishna is talking to him about getting established in the truth, Brahmanishtha. So, things which are favorable to get established there, some of the sadhanas, what Krishna has spoken till now, what he has spoken there. First thing, what did he say? Don't get involved with anybody else's business. Vishwamegalpagam pashyan, parasvabhava karmani na prashamsadi na nindadi. First thing, Vishwamegalpagam pashyan. So, that is what he said, first thing, isn't it? Because if you do that, you will fall. So, asu brashade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. Because you are dealing with an atma, that means how can you stay in the platform of atma then? If you are dealing with an atma all the time, then how? So, therefore, at least, don't get involved with others' business. Leave them to themselves, particularly when you get older. That's where you have to be more careful. Old age. Because these older people have one problem. They have to correct the world. That's where all the problem starts, isn't it? And Uddhava is very old as well. You can see why he's saying that to him. So Krishna is saying here that parasabhava karmani particularly is necessary when you get old. When you get old. Family life also. A lot of things will happen in the family. Don't get involved. Whereas if you take control of this, want to take control of the situation, you will have problems. That's what it is. So, talking about others, sabhavam or karmam, never to think about that. Because every jiva has come to this world with its prarabdham. And you have to allow that to go through. You will hear something from the books, or somebody must have told you that, oh, your father, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to make sure your whole family is going together back home, back to Godhead and all that. All kinds of ideas people will put into your head. And this is spinning in your head all the time. And if anybody makes any mistake at home, you straight away get onto their nerves and start telling them, look, you're not doing according to this. And then the fight starts. So, quietly live your life and keep away from all other hassle in life. And that is particularly when you get older. So they are grown up, children are grown up, and you are trying to change them. You yourself couldn't change, and you are trying to change them. How is that going to happen? It will never happen. So, even to think about their karma, about their activities, is wrong, Krishna is saying, because it will affect your own spiritual life in this world. And not only that, what else Krishna said there? Even though they are talking all other things, they are all lies anyway. Is it not? What did he say? Before Chaya. Kimbadram kimabadram va. Vaidasya avastane kiyal. Because all this managing family and all is within this field. It's not on a spiritual platform. You are trying to discipline them and telling them that this is what you should be doing. And we want to make them all pure devotees. That's not going to work. You can give up all that plans. So that's why he says there, Dvaidasya avastana kiyal. Sometimes it's very interesting. In the internet, people are writing how to make your family Krishna conscious. They're writing each other. And people are thinking, yeah, he's telling the thing. What Prabhupada said this, so he's saying the same thing. So he should be okay. This is all head gone cases. There's nothing you can do about all this. And you go into all these things and you'll get into problems later. Leave them, do your part and leave behind. Don't get involved too much, you're inviting trouble. That's all. That's why Krishna is saying here that, Tajase nidrayabhani pindasto nashta chetana mayam praapnodi mrityumva tadvat nanartha drukpuman. This nanartha druk, one who has nanartha druk, what he is saying and doing and all, if you try to evaluate that, you won't get any answer to that. Is it not? You know, you learn by experience these things. Even Shastram telling this, by your own experience you will learn this. That nanartha drukha means that he's only seeing the world, and he's seeing the world is real, and he's trying to correct the world. Is it not? And no matter what you do here, at the end you will be blamed. No matter what you do here. So, therefore he's saying, mayam prapnodi mrityum va tadva nanartha druk puman. So, first thing he said that parasvabhava karmani na prashamse na grahayet. Isn't it? Then second thing he said that vajodidam tad anirdam manaso dhyatam eva cha. Everything that you are experiencing here, this is all spoken from the highest platform. That is what you have to be careful about. From that platform, when you look at it, it's all lie. Vajodidam tad anirdam manasa dhyatam eva cha. You are experiencing, so many thoughts are coming into your mind, and you are acting based on that thoughts, what has come. Is it not? You want to change this, want to change that, and trying to correct the world. And that will not work Because Krishna is saying that. Why? Kim badram kim abadramba dvaidasya avastuna kel. In the world of duality, what is right and wrong? How did you say right and wrong here? Because everything is duality here, isn't it? Dvaidasya avastuna kel vajodidam tad amrutam. Whatever you are speaking here is all lie. Whatever you are thinking about and making plans through your mind, it's also a lie. Manasadhyatam evacha. So don't do that, he is saying there. And means that don't allow the mind to go after all the other things, right? First thing, to Vishwam Egalmagam Pashyan. To see the world as nothing but a manifestation of Atma. So, if this realization comes to a person, these two things, Vishwam Egalmagam Pashyan and Vajodidam Tananardam Manasadhyatam Evaja, old age will be a little bit more easier. The old age will become a little easier if these two things are in the realization. In the realization. If you are getting the food in time at the old age and you are sitting at home, then whatever time you have, utilize it for connecting with Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. Don't get too much dragged into the, especially after retirement and after all other problems are finished with life, and when you know you're on your way out, best thing to do at that time is to keep this understanding, two things, very fundamental ideas in our own mind, our own thoughts. One thing is Parasubhava Karmani na prashamse nagarheyat, number one. Number two is Vajodidam tata nardam manasadhyatam evacha. These two realizations will help a lot. You will see this with people. There are many people who are like that. They know at what stage they have to leave the so-called family business. Time has come in life that they have done what they can. You did what you could in your life for them. But that doesn't mean that the rest of the life you have to do the same thing. That's not Vedic understanding. That due to prarabdham, something has happened in life. It has come together, and you have to do certain things, and at a particular time prarabdham is more or less coming to an end, and then body is going to go. Before that, at least these realizations would help a lot. That's what Krishna is saying there. So so if one follows that, it's good for them and it's good for others also who are connected with them. It's good for them as well. Remember in the Bhajagovindam prayers, what does it finish? Yaval pavano nivasadi gehe, taval prichadi kushalam gehe, idvadi vayo jiva vayo, bharya vibhyadi tasmin kayo. Vartam kobina prichadi gehe. Once you have left this body, nobody is going to bother. Nobody is going to bother. Your son, daughter, no matter who it is. Are we bothered about our parents when they left the body and gone? Who bothers? They're gone. Vartam prachadi kushalam gehe. When you are living, they will inquire about your welfare and all that. When you left the body, who is going to inquire about your welfare? You don't even know where they have gone. So what do you say about that, isn't it? So if it is like that, there will be no complaint. I'm saying you can somehow pass through this world. And then the other thing is vairagyam. Vairagyam means no connection with anything in this world. No connection with anything in this world. If there is very good vairagyam for a person, then that vairagyam is what Krishna is saying here, then it will be very helpful in cultivating this knowledge, in these realizations, right? So, one who has got that kind of detachment to this world, and one who is able to remain in aloof from everything, and who has the capacity to study Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, in that solitude, and if you practice it like that, life, rest of the life will be little bit bearable, or you can more or less survive through here. So Krishna is saying to Uddhava, because Uddhava is also old person, 125 years old,
one who puts their, one who gets involved in others' affairs, he will not be able to go further in life, spiritual life. One who gets involved with others' life, it will not be possible. And because it will create chittavritti, and yoga means chittavritti nirodham. Chittavritti nirodham. So, people will say this Yoga Sutram, Patanjali's Yoga Sutram is a very difficult thing. It's a beautiful sutram. Like Brahma Sutram, it is as powerful and as famous as Brahma Sutram. Loads of great personalities have taken from that, because it is such a science that has been spoken in the form of sutram, and there is lot of explanations to that, commentaries on that as well. It is a very difficult thing. Actually, it is easy to say that it is difficult to understand Yoga Sutram, because when you understand a little bit of something, that is when it becomes difficult. When you understand a few things from Yoga Sutram, then it becomes difficult. Then you want to know more. Because when you read through Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, you will find if the explanation is good, then you will notice that the connection from one sutram to another sutram, how that flow goes throughout the sutram. It is like that in all the sutram. Bhakti Sutram is also like that. Narada Maharshi's Bhakti Sutram, Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, Vedavyasa Maharshi's Brahma Sutram, and Jaimini's Karma Sutram. These are the four sutrams available. Karma Margam, Jnana Margam, Bhakti Margam, Yoga Margam. All the four processes has got their sutrams connected with that. The difficulty, Bhakti Sutram is easier, because Narada Maharshi has put it like that. Vedanta Sutram is very difficult, because it is higher knowledge spoken in a sutram form. Yoga Sutram also difficult in the same way. So the difficulty is, Patanjali's Yoga Sutram is, in order to understand that Yoga Sutram, one has to be practicing it at the same time. One has to be practicing it also at the same time. Only then you will have some understanding of what he is saying, right? So, but those who are practicing it, adhyalma sadhana, one who is doing that sadhana, for them it is not a problem. It's not a problem. For example, Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, Krishna Katha, Bhagavatam also, that part of Bhagavatam, this everybody will understand. Everybody will understand. Because Katha, when you hear, you will understand the Katha, isn't it? But when you start studying Katha seriously, only then it is making some sense. Right? Purana Katha is like that. When you hear the Katha alone, only Katha you heard from somebody, all the killing of all the demons and killing of all the different war that happened, churning of the milk ocean, all other things in the Bhagavatam. When you hear that as a katha, purely as a katha, that you are thinking about it, isn't it? This is Rishi's technique. Rishis deliberately did it like this. What they did was, they told the stories, and they put the stories in front of you. You heard the story, and then you started thinking about it a little bit, to make you think. And when you started thinking about the stories, and you start getting some understanding from the stories about spiritual life, then it all becomes meaningful. Otherwise, there are people who have heard these stories again and again and again and again many, many times. But if the stories are not bringing any sense at the end, then once you start getting that sense from the stories, then the unrealistic part of the stories, which you feel today, will not be important anymore. You won't take that seriously. Now what happens is, when you hear the stories, you are thinking that it doesn't make any sense, you will say. Like I mentioned before, Chitrakedu's 10 million wives and Ugrasena's 4 billion servants and all these things, that is showing to us
that Katha has not started working yet for him. That's why he is hovering there in that level. When Katha starts working, in everything in the Bhagavatam is like that. Once the Katha starts working, those questions will disappear from inside. Because Rishis compiled Katha in such a way that it will create that thoughts in you to find out more about this. Why the story has been written like this. And then you won't inquire any more about the details of the Katha. You will not be investigating whether the Katha is true or not, because it's not important for you anymore. What's important for you is what the Katha has brought to you, what understanding you got from that. What does it matter what how the Katha is? It's not. That is the difference. So so, after hearing Katha, Bhagavata Katha, Katha is necessary because it's through Katha that we get the link to everything. Katha should stimulate inside and should develop into questions. But normally, Katha should not make into, after I read all the Katha, I take a sheet of paper and start writing all the questions. And then go and ask all these questions to somebody. And if he gives me the proper answer, then I will accept it. If he's not giving me the answer, then this Katha is all nonsense. And reject it like that. That is not how the process is. Process is, first hear the Katha very well. You should hear the Katha. You should understand the Katha in depth. Only then, when we go into the Katha seriously, you will see the effect of the Katha in you. How the Katha changes a person. Katha has got that power. Rishis knew this very well. That is why they wrote the Puranam. Why did they write Puranam first of all? Puranam was written for this reason. That straight talk is not possible with ordinary people. Straight talking things, which is Upanishads. So straight talk doesn't work for them. So they thought about this and they found out this technique. And this storytelling business is everywhere in the world. People use stories to get the message through. Is it not? It's everywhere. All over the world people follow that. So the same thing, Rishis have also done the same thing. They used Katha. Through Katha they got the message through. And there are people, when you study this Katha very well, and Katha creates the genuine questions inside, and you will start listening, that will create the listening habit inside, and with the right salsangam and association, you will find very stimulating this Katha. Katha becomes very stimulating. So, here Krishna is saying that after talking about all these things, he is saying here, Parasvabhava karmani na prashamsadi na nindadi. Parasvabhava karmani na prashamsadi na nindadi. Keep out of that. And he also says here, if your mind goes into other things, what's the damage it does? That's what it is saying here. Drishta, Patanjali also says this, Drishta anishruta vishaya vaidrishnyam. One of the sutrams in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, you will see. That means, Drishta Anushruta Vishaya Vaidrashnyam. Patanjali's definition of Vairagyam. Patanjali says, Vairagyam means that whatever you have heard, whatever you have seen, all those things, you have not developed any connection with them. Trishna. Not desiring any of them. You have seen a lot of things, you have heard a lot of things. You are not desiring anything from that. Drishta Nishruta Vishaya Vaidrishnyam. That Patanjali calls that as Vairagyam.
because Vairagyam is an important thing. Bhartrihari is, there is 100 verses called Vairagya Shatakam. You can download that from the web, right? Vairagya Shatakam, 100 verses. There is about half a dozen commentaries on that based on Vairagya Shatakam. Bhartrihari was a great personality. Vikramaditya's assembly, he was a minister there. There's a lot of things about history with Vikramaditya and Bhartrihari. Anyway, so mind has no involvement with anything in this world, Sangam. There is no Sangam anywhere. And not only that, the desire to see further has also gone from inside. We all have that desire, want to see something new, is it not? We call it as holiday. Basically, where is it coming from? We want to see something new. Why is it like that? Because Vairagyam hasn't come enough. At some stage in life, you will realize this, I have seen enough now. I don't want to see anymore anything. What is there to see? When Prabhupada came here, some devotees said, Prabhupada, you haven't seen London, have you? We have got this system called open top bus. It's very nice. It's only $10 or something. We can see the whole London. Prabhupada said, I not come to see London, he said. I didn't come to see London. Because why? In Prabhupada's awareness, he had seen enough. He had seen enough. What is there to see anymore? What is this? Because there in a certain level you are feeling some happiness. I can see, I have not seen that before. This year, this holiday, next year another holiday. This way, why we want to see something new? And every time you go, you're finding, this is interesting. I have not seen this before. This is something very nice. I enjoy it. Come back. But this is that mind working from inside. When we have not come to that, that is Paranjali's words also here, that mind is not attracted by any of these things. It's not valuable anymore. And if once that stage comes, there's a certain peace that comes inside, shanti inside. Srimad Bhagavatam is saying like this, that a person who is wandering around all over the world in the name of with the desires inside, what peace we will have inside? What peace can he have? He's saying like that. So, no desires inside, it's also an indication of a person how he is settled with himself, within himself, right? He's not feeling that desire to go anywhere, to do anything in that way, but that satisfaction inside is keeping him happy, totally satisfied inside. And what Shastram says there is that a person who is like that, without any desiring inside, totally satisfied within, his happiness, not even a fraction of that happiness, will be there in a person who is wandering around in the world for fulfilling his desires. Fulfilling his desires. Fulfilling his desires. He's wandering around. That will not be there. He's saying, not even a fraction of that happiness of the person who is able to stay put without any further plans. So, this desiring itself is a disease. Desiring itself is a disease. So, when that goes away, which means the desires goes away, then there is a kind of happiness that comes in. Happiness that is coming. Actually, we don't know this subtle thing of that, subtle side of that. When the desires goes away is when the happiness comes. Happiness doesn't come when you fulfill the desires. When the desires leaves you, that is when happiness comes. That is the principle in the Bhagavad Gita also. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. When you understand that verse, why does Krishna say like that? Sarvan partha manogadan.
Because desires are come from the mind. It's not coming from the soul. That means the mind is active. Mind is asking, desiring things. So once that desires go, Atmanyeva Atmanatushta Siddha Pratyasta Duchyate, that for him, one whose desires have gone from inside, then he is the one who is actually happy. Not the person who is desiring and who is demanding many more things in this world. So this desiring itself is a disease, as well as from the spiritual point of view. So not by fulfilling the desires, but instead, when that desires goes away, that is the treatment. So when that disease goes away, there is a happiness inside. And people generally think that when you go shopping, there are so many things there, isn't it? And if there is a special offer also, then your whole eyes are focused on that. Isn't it? It's a special offer. Can't miss it now. Should get it now. So, you're thinking that if I get that thing, first of all, the price is good. Special offer. And then you take it home and you're thinking, I got a bargain. Real bargain. Feeling happy inside. The shopping trip was worth. So, in the same way, this nature, what we are talking about, you will even that find in the small children. They also have. When they get a little something precious, they find it, they got it. On their own, they got it. They feel happy. Who is feeling happy? Ahangaram inside. So, is there any difference with the small child and the adult who went for shopping and he got something, a good bargain, and he brought it home and feeling happiness from that? And a small child who managed to get something, even when the small children, for us that time, there is not so many things like today, but only what was available was mangoes, in the mango season, ripe mangoes, right? So sometimes, early hours in the morning when you go there and look for the mangoes, you will find some nice, ripe, fully ripe mangoes on the ground. When you take it and get it for yourself, you feel a certain degree of happiness inside. Why is that happiness? Because of this, you got it on your own. Nobody else has. You don't have to depend. When a child, you are dependent on so many other people. Everything has to be supplied by the parents, by the family members and all that. But this one, you got it on your own. So there's a certain degree of happiness there. In the same way, Krishna is saying here that when you are children, you will desire like that. Similarly, the toys also. When you get a toys in that way, after you have insisted that you should have the toy and put the parents under a lot of pressure, and finally they have brought it and given it to you. Suppose you are a children, right? So, and then what does he do? He'll play with it for a couple of days, then he doesn't want to see it. He throw it away. After all this fighting and all the effort he has put into it to get it, he got it. And then what does he do? Couple of days he will play with it. And then he is not interested. It will be lying in some corner. The mother will pick up every time. And she will try to give it to him. To please him. He says, yeah, I had enough of it. Throw it away. He'll throw it away. It shows no interest in that. Children are like that, isn't it? So, and even after we have grown up, we are also doing exactly the same thing. There's not much big difference. Like the children, isn't it? So many things we desire, or we should like to have this, nice to have that. And then after we got it, oh, there's nothing there in that. Throw it away back again. It has lost its value, isn't it? Like it, often it happens. People, I've seen in many, many big cities it happens, particularly. They lived in the city, right? And then they realized one day, countryside is very nice. Very nice. So, because there is peace there in the countryside, and so many ideas got into their head. You are talking about adults now, very grown up, older people. They go to the countryside and they buy a cottage there. And they live in the cottage for some time. And then they get bored. They come back to the city again looking for a flat. They want to come back to the city. They got bored here. So, this person who is doing this, and the child who is doing with the toys, is there any difference? Where is the difference? Isn't it? It's the same thing. There are many people like that. They'll say, this place is no good. We should have a flat somewhere else where I can go and stay. So you go and buy a flat in Spain or somewhere else like that. Holiday home, they say. So after a few years, you do this traveling back to Spain and back forth. You're tired. Then he said, well, I'll settle here. Then you sell. Afterwards, you sell the flat. Because the nature hasn't changed in us. When we were children, how we have acted? Exactly the same way we are acting even now. Nothing has changed. I'm saying that when there is no vairagyam inside properly, proper vairagya means with knowledge, proper understanding of life, that these kind of ideas will keep coming into our mind. How to enjoy this life? You're fired. You're saying that, oh, this British weather is no good, so I should go somewhere else where this could be. And then you go like this once or twice or thrice you will go. After that you will not feel. You can't go also because you're physically not able to. When you see all the hassle of getting there and doing things like that. So, similarly when you see, particularly when you're traveling and you see new properties, new houses, new design, new things what they have done, immediately you're thinking, can I make one like this in the same way? So, so when you are, if you give some attention to that, look at that person at that time, you can see that when they are building the house, what they are doing, which according to their plan, that they are living at that time as though they are living in the house. Have you noticed that? They are building a house, right? According to their imagination, according to their taste, or what that they call as a taste, higher taste, whatever you want to call it. According to the higher taste, yes. So, according to the higher taste, you are building a house, right? When the house is being built, if you look at the people, if you are supervising the construction yourself, you look at the person, all his imagination is as though he is living in that house. Or, suppose you have signed up to buy a new property somewhere. And after you have paid the advance and everything, but you have not moved in. You are living in your old house, right? All the things you are imagining is about the new property, where you are going to move in. You won't be least bothered what's happening in your existing place where you are living. This is our mind. This is how it works. So, after you have moved into the new property, and once you have got to know all the problems in the new property, after a while you are saying, I think we should move again to somewhere else, isn't it? And let me look if there's another place where you could. There are people like this moving all the time, one place to another, because of this mind inside, how it creates all these kinds of thoughts inside. And those who are not taken spiritual life seriously, for them this is a regular thing going on like this, that constantly buying, selling. It's an entertainment actually. It keeps the life going anyway, this buying life. You can see that you go to the shops and bring everything, and then in a short time you get fed up. Saturday, Sunday, you put them in the car, go for the car boat sale, to sell everything what you have brought, to put it in the sale, for the car boat sale. Saturday, Sunday, because it gives you an engagement also for Saturday, Sunday. Whole week you work, earn, shopping. Weekend, dispose of everything you have bought. So, life goes on. So you can see sometimes, some people have taken a lot of time and energy to build the house of their dreams, as they call it. So, he has that prarabdham to build the house. Somebody else has got the prarabdham to live in the house. That's how it is. He had the prarabdham to build the house. Somebody else has got the prarabdham to go and live in that house. So that is the way it works. So that is why Vairagyam. Why did Pingala sing that song? Ashahi paramam dukham, nairashyam paramam sukham, sukham sushwabi pingala. You remember? When Vairagyam comes, what happened to Pingala? Pingala's song, Pingala Gita, it is called. Pingala's Gita. So, Pingala is saying that he says last verse 44. Ashahi paramam dukham, nairashyam paramam sukham, yadha sajinya kandasham, sukham sushwaba pingala. Pingala came to that realization at the end. She acquired wealth. She had a great time. She had properties, wealth, everything. But one day, due to the Dattatreya Maharshi's association, she woke up. That's how Vairagyam in life is. That when that proper realization came inside, Sukham Sushwaba Pingala never ran after these things anymore. Realized it, the uselessness. So you can see Vairagyam, when it comes in a person's life, how it can change everything. Altogether, it can change. So, Sukham Sushwaba Pingala, it says. Pingala said like that. So, and that is why Krishna says these are necessary things in spiritual life. Otherwise, spiritual life cannot go further. Bhakti, Jnanam, Vairagyam. All Bhakti is the key factor there. But along with Bhakti, Jnanam and Vairagyam is necessary. Otherwise, spiritual progress is not possible. It is this Dattatreya Maharshi who comes as Parashuram later. Parashuram is actually Dattatreya Maharshi. Yeah. You won't see this in the Bhagavatam. It's all in the other Puranams talking about that. How Parashuram came? Parashuram is Dattatreya Maharshi's appearance again. So, Sandushta Sadat. Krishna says this. When Yadrucha Lava Sandushto. Does he not say about a yogi? Yadrucha Labha Sandushto. It means whatever he gets it in life, he is satisfied. He is not complaining about it. And another place Krishna says about a devotee. What does he say? Who is a devotee? Sandushta Sadadam Yogi. 12th chapter. Yad Altmadrana Nishchaya May Arpidamano Bhudir Yomal Bhakta Same Priyaha. Sandushta Sadadam Yogi. He is always satisfied within himself. Yad Altmadrana Nishchaya May Arpidamano Bhudhi Yomal Bhakta Same Priyaha. Always happy, always happy. So, sometimes, if the prasadam is not wonderful, if the prasadam is there, feeling satisfied with that, whatever it may be, he has got prasadam, he's satisfied inside. Because if the satisfaction is there, you won't complain. You will not complain. And there is shanti inside. And with that shanti is there, even while taking prasadam, you will be peaceful. Happiness will be there. And then when you go to sleep, you will get sleep. You will get sleep. You will sleep comfortably. There will be no disturbance inside. It will be very pleasant. So, that kind, you saw with Dattatreya Maharshi. What did he say? You remember what Dattatreya said to Yadu? And what he said to Prahlada? He says to Yadu, some days I get a feast. And some days there is no food at all. That was what his life was. Look at that. But I learned one lesson, he said. Whether a feast comes or if there is no feast, I should not get disturbed. That is spiritual life. If you look into Ekadasha Skandam, in the... which verse was that? No. Seventh chapter before that. Seventh chapter Krishna begins, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. When
Krishna started speaking to Uddhava, Krishna takes Uddhava to this meeting between that's in the 7th chapter, yeah, meeting between Dattatreya and Yadu. So that is where you will find this, yeah. See that Yadu and Brahmana conversation. It is in the 7th chapter. See that verses 26. Kuto buddhiriyam brahman akartusu visharada yama sadhya bhavam lokam vidvam sharadi balavat prayo dharmartha kameshu vivilsayam cha manava hetu neiva samihande ayusho yashasa shriya tvam tu kalpa kavir daksha subhago amrutabhashana na karta nehase kinjil jadam unmatta pishachavad. All those verses is what Yadu has spoken to Dattatreya. Yadu says to Dattatreya, right? And then he's saying that Mukto Gangambasta Ivadvipa, that how is that you are like this? You haven't got anything. I have got everything, right? I've got everything. Yadu, big king, isn't it? You haven't got anything. You don't even know where the food is coming for your next meal. But you look happier than me. What is the secret behind it? That's what he was asking. Tomhi na prachadam brahman almani ananda karanam bruhi sparsha vihinasya bhavada keval almana. This was his question. And at that time, Brahmana says to him that that look, I have learned a lot of things in this world, from this world. And then that's when he spoke about all the spiritual masters, what he learned from each one of them. Is it not? Yeah. So, so after talking about all that, Brahmana is saying to them that my situation is like this in this world, he said. Sometimes I get carried in palanquins. Somebody invites me for a meal and they come and take me in the palanquin. And I'm decorated with all kinds of clothes and crown everything, and I'm looked after very well. Sometimes nobody cares for me. Nobody cares for me, he says. So, yes, Idasam Samushtamya. Shaidani Shaidahani Puriri Nirahara Anabokrama Edinobanamed Graso Maha Ahiriva Dishtabukha. And there is another verse where he is saying that no, it's also there in the 7th canto while talking about the Sannyasasham, when he is saying like that. That so, anyway, when he met Prahlada also, he says these things, isn't it? So, what is important there is to know this, that Yadu had this doubt, and this is how he told him, that the lesson I have learned is that whether you have food or no food, able to be peaceful about that, peaceful, is it not? So that is the saying there. So That is what Krishna is also saying to Uddhava. Inside, you should be peaceful. There should be shanti inside. And don't get involved in anybody else's affairs. Be peaceful inside and don't get involved in anyone else's affairs. And don't try to change the world or improve the conditions of this world or change others. Those things, don't get involved in all these things. And because when you are doing that, in your mind, you already have a concept. What's that? This is right and this is wrong. This is good and this is bad. That is why you are doing all these things. Is it not? And that is what Krishna said there. Kim badram kim abadram va. Dvaidasya avastune kiya. Vajodidam tad amrtam manasadhyatam eva cha. So, but you should not abuse these statements, what Krishna is saying here. Some people will go and do something they like, and then they'll say, kim badram kim abadram. That's not allowed. That's not what the system. That's what I'm saying. When we read these verses, you have to know in which level you can talk all these things. Right? Suppose I go, if I got somebody, I'm angry with somebody, and go and thrash him a few times, telling him, badrin kim abadrin. That is not spiritual, that's not proper understanding. That means, Vedantam is not for vyavaharam. This is the principle. Vedantam is for realization. Don't try to bring it into vyavaharam. If you bring it into vyavaharam, you'll cause problem for others. So some people, he says, they will do whatever they like. And they will say these words, kim badram kim abadram. So what will happen then? If everybody starts, it's not like that. So good and bad does not exist. When they say this in the Vedantam, is in relationship with others, not about you. When you are seeing others, you have to develop this understanding that what is good and bad, not about you. About yourself, you have to think good and bad. In relationship with yourself, good and bad is important. Why it is spoken is like that is, when you see others and when you have to do vyavaharam with them, that should not affect us. It is for that purpose this is spoken. Which one? Kim badram kim abadram va. So you have to know when to apply, where to apply also. While dealing with others and doing vyavaharam with others, they should not get inside you and create disturbances inside and to keep that shanti inside. For that purpose, this is the technique. Kim badram kim abadram va. So for at that stage you can apply that. But about yourself you shouldn't apply that and start doing things what you like. So for example, we don't want to get bound by all these things in this world. And sometimes you cannot give explanation to everything in this world. Therefore, in bhakti process we will say it's all Krishna's leela. Have you seen that? When we can't explain anything in Maya, in Prakriti, and Krishna has done so many things and you are not able to explain, devotees will say, it's Leela. It's Leela. Or sometimes, if you are mixed with a little bit of knowledge, you will say, it's Maya. It is Maya. So, idea that why the purpose of saying all these things is, it's Maya, or it is Leela, or this statement also, parasabhava karmani, na prasanna. The intention behind all these things is that so that the outside world don't get inside and create chittavritti inside. That's the purpose behind it. See? That's the purpose behind it. So that we must be conscious of that. Because sometimes in spiritual life, when we can't explain something, somebody asks you a question, you can't explain, you will say, oh, it's Leela. So then you can shut his mouth then. Once you say that, you can't say anything anymore after that. Or you say, it's all Maya Prabhu.
then you can't answer anything, can you? So why do we say all it is Maya, but at the same time, if you start applying this in every situation when you don't have an answer, that's also not good. The idea behind saying that is that so that at least you won't put your mind into it again and get absorbed in it in the business of others and get yourself distracted from your spiritual life. You are not able to do your own sadhana because of all these problems, right? Family, society, friends, and God brothers, and all kinds of things in this world. They'll all come and with their ideas, and they will start injecting their plans into your head. So if you get distracted by all that, that's bad. So therefore, Krishna is saying there, Uddhava parasubhava karmani na prashamsena garhayed vishwam egalpagam vashyan prakritya purushenacha. That is the answer for that. So, but instead if you say, start thinking that I want to become like this or I want to become like that, and if you start applying all these things in that way, then there won't be any yoga. There will be no yoga. Instead, what will happen is vikshepam. Vikshepam will happen if you start applying this recklessly, without any proper discrimination, isn't it? And it has happened to many people like that, because this is one difficulty. Vedantam, when you are studying, there is a certain level of maturity necessary also inside. People who are always used to taking instructions. People wants everything in writing, point by point by point. And they are willing to follow that. For them, Vedantam won't work. It's difficult for them. Vedantam requires a lot of contemplation and a certain degree of maturity inside, spiritual maturity. For them, Vedantam will be effective. Otherwise, Vedantam is difficult. Those who are in that level, who wants constantly instructions and guidance step by step, for them bhakti. Vedantam will not work. Because bhakti, it is like this, that everything you are told clearly, 10 offenses and other rules and regulations, very clearly spoken, then people feel happy with that, isn't it? So for them, books have to be written in a particular way. Things have to be presented in a particular way. They are also in spiritual life. Nobody is denying that. But it will take time for them to come to this level, what Krishna is speaking. What Krishna is speaking. So, so that is why. And how will they come to this, you know? When will they come to this way? When they follow these rules and regulations and instructions for a long period of time. In that process, a lot of time they will be misled by the leaders. They'll get misled. And then they will learn the lesson. And then they will come to this way. Before that, they won't come. It's a big battle at that time. When they're in that stage, if you tell them about these things, they will think that you are out to destroy their spiritual life. That's how they will interpret that. But after a long time, they themselves got through their process, which they thought is the right process. And they have followed that process for a long time. After getting kicked a lot by the so-called leaders and the authorities and the management and the gurus and all. Nobody has any clear view about anything. They are just telling you because it suits them. And after getting kicked a lot, one day you will come to your own senses. What I am doing is not the right thing. That is when Vedantam will work for them at that time. But you have to come to that stage first. Get a lot of kicks in life from several sources and sides. Unfortunately, it is like that. What can you do? That's the way it is. That's why initially when you tell them all these things, they will say it's all nonsense. This is some... what do they say? It's difficult for them. You can't blame them for that. Poor people, that they, others have taken advantage of them, they've abused them, and exploited them, and left them, not knowing what to do further. And these people are thinking that, is this all spiritual life, what I've gone through? If this, so years and years people have wasted like this, following this kind of people. So, that is what we are saying here. Krishna is saying this, that while applying Vedantam, you have to be very conscious in what level you are accepting it and what level you are speaking this. You should speak in such a way that it should not mislead others, exploit others, cheat others. Purely on the platform of the soul it should be spoken. While similarly, those who are listening, they should apply this knowledge purely in that level. They should not bring it into vyavaharam, all these things, and confuse the whole thing. Because they will get confused. If you start bringing what Krishna has spoken here into vyavaharam, there will be a lot of confusion from that, right? So that is why we have to be careful about these particular verses, what Krishna has spoken there. So, especially, if you start using these verses to justify your actions, what you have done, right? So, this is good. These are good for controlling the mind, controlling the senses, for the peace inside, for that yoga state. You should be able to use it for that purpose. To bring shanti inside, to bring that yoga state inside, control of the senses inside, control of the mind inside, for that purpose, you should use these things, these verses. Otherwise, it will be all become upside down. Everything will become completely chaotic. That's why he's saying like that, kim badram kim abadram va dvaidasya avastura kiyal vajodidam tad anradam manasodhyatam evacha. So, first thing is that, Krishna says, don't allow the mind to wander around in this world. Don't allow that mind. what is saying? What is badram, what is abhadram, isn't it? After saying all these things, Krishna said, what did he say? That this whole creation itself is Atma. Isn't it? He said that. Atma eva srijati vishwam. That word. Atmaiva tadidam vishwam srijyade srijyade prabhu prayade tradri vishwalma kriyade harati ishwara. There is always Atma here, Uddhava. That understanding, isn't it? And so the whole creation is Atma. Whole creation is Atma. Atmaiva idam sarvam yada Atma. There is only Atma here, Uddhava. There is nothing else here. An Atma does not exist. An Atma doesn't exist. So, while this is all for one's own individual spiritual realization to be utilized, like in the verses in the Ishopanishad. Remember those verses? Yastu sarvani, 6 and 7, I think, the number. Yastu sarvani bhudani egattu manupashyada. You have to see that one thing inside. Verse 6. Yastu sarvani bhudani atmanyev anupashyati sarva bhudeshu chalpanam tato na vijugupsade. That same thing what Krishna is saying here. There is only Atma everywhere. There is nothing else. Yastu sarvani bhudani atmanyev anupashyati. You have to see it as Atma. Sarva bhudeshu chalpanam. All these things what you are seeing is to be seen as in the Atma. Tatotna vijugupsade. He who sees all beings in the self itself and the self in all beings feels no hatred by virtue of that. Why does he say tatotna vijugupsade means that he does not feel any hate, means that no chittavritti inside. That's the advantage. If you see Atma in everything, no chittavritti will come. Shanti will come inside. Samadhanam will be there. Tato na vijugupsade. And in the next verse also, what did he say? Yasmin Yasmin sarvani bhudhani atmaiva abhud janada tatrako moha ka shokaha ekattu manupashyada. When to the man of self-realization, all being becomes the very self, that means when everything has become Atma for him, then there is no more ka shokaha ka mohaha. There is no hankering, no lamentation will be there in him, in which all beings become the self, and what delusion and what sorrow can remain for that seer of oneness.
sphere of oneness. So these two verses in the Ishvamanishad is a precise definition of what Krishna is saying here. That those who are in that state, for them, in that oneness, shoga moham doesn't exist. Then they don't get involved in others' affairs because they know that it is all Atma there anyway. Why I should get involved in others' business? It will disturb his shanti inside. So that is why those two verses are important. Yastu sarvani bhudani atmatev anipashyati sarvabhudeshu chalpmanam tatonna vijugupsade yasmin sarvani bhudani tvatmaiva buddhya janada buddhi jana tatrako moha ka shokaha egatvam anipashyata. So those two verses, right? Ishvamanishad. So everything one who has known as Atma, for such a person, Atmaiva Abhud. Atmaivud. And he doesn't have to, after that he is not seeing it as Atma. What is happening is he has become Atma. Only in that state you are seeing everything as Atma. It's not that you see them with the eyes, I'm not seeing the gross body anymore, only the Atma. Not like that. What is happening is that in his relationship with all other living beings in this world, it's purely Atma. Present in his awareness, it's only their Atma for him. So, and he can only relate with others in the spiritual platform as Atma. An Atma is like this, like when you have made gold into jewelry, it is still gold, isn't it? Similarly, if you make the gold into a ring, it is still gold, whether it is ring or whether it is a chain or a garland or whatever it may be, bangle, whatever it is, essentially it is still gold. That means the satta, the truth behind that is material is gold. In the same way, in this creation, whatever name and form you are seeing, man, woman, everything is Atma. Everything is Atma. Everything is Atma. That's where Krishna stops there. Now, that requires a lot more explanation, that verse which we are talking about. That is vijnanameda tri avastamangam gunatrayam karana karya kartru samanyayena vidireka dascha yenaiva turiyena tadeva satyam. Tadeva satyam. So, that verse, we will continue with that next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.